about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Hello. Shalom. Buongiorno. Howdy. Namaste. Or buenos dias.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We are a capitalistic society. Okay, I go into business, I don't make it, I go bankrupt. They're not going to bail me out. I've been on food stamps and welfare. Anybody help me out? No.
The level to which we respect you has definitely not changed.
I imagine you have a big...
Maybe.
How big is it?
I'm not sure.
You haven't measured it?
I haven't measured.
It's like, what, 3 inches?
Maybe.
4? 3.
Don't you think I'm entitled to the pleasures of love?
And now, my balls. Take them. Hold them. Rub them, love them, and then eat them. Eat all of my balls.
Our feature presentation.
That is a nasty way to start.
I've had breakfast, thank you.
Wow. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday, the 15th of August.
By the way, we heard from the International Man of Mystery, Doto, in that opening. Is he ever coming back to the United States?
It's really hard for us to figure out. He's one of the people we love the most, but we call him the International Man of Mystery because he always seems to be overseas.
Doing something that we can't understand. He doesn't explain very well.
And he doesn't think that phones work there.
Right.
Well, we've never even gotten a response that he understands that he could call us from wherever he is.
Right.
He really does. I don't think we can emphasize that point enough. He doesn't understand that he can talk to us on the phone when he's out of the country.
So he'll say, I'm in China, I'm in Indonesia, I'm in Vietnam, I'm in right. wherever his dad happens to be for whatever business he happens to be doing.
Drugs, obviously.
And we'll say, hey, Doe, why don't you just give us a call from there? Nothing.
Nope. Just gone.
I'll be back. I don't know why he's being. I'll be back in 2 months, Kevin and Bean.
Well, it seems like he's been gone this whole year, and I don't like it one little bit.
That guy. What would you need him for?
Well, that's another way of looking at it, I guess.
Yeah.
China is in the news. How's your Mandarin? Mine is not very good right
pretty,
now.
Pretty good.
Could
pretty polished.
Work? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The city is named L-U-O-H-E. How would you pronounce that?
Logie.
All right. So you'd add the silent G, I guess?
I'm just pronouncing the silent G, yes.
Okay. The People's Park of Logie, apparently, in the central province of Henan, is under fire right now when people realize that they have been replacing the exotic animals in the zoo with domestic animals. And I don't know if this is because their animals are dying. They never had those animals. I haven't figured out yet. It doesn't say in the article why they're doing it. Are they just low on funds, can't maintain the real animals? I don't know. But here's a woman named Lou who wanted to show her son, took her young son to the zoo to show her the different sounds that animals make. Little kids love nothing more than that, right?
Right, right.
They love that pigs oink and that roosters crow. They love hearing those sounds. But when he pointed to the lion, the lion started barking.
What?
It wasn't, in fact, a lion, you guys. It was a Tibetan Mastiff, which is a large and long-haired breed of dog that sort of looks like a lion. And I guess they probably groomed it that way as well to make it look more like a lion.
Oh, come on. Really?
I love that.
The zoo is absolutely cheating us, the paper quoted Lou, the woman who was charged 15 yuan, which is $2.45 for the ticket. They're trying to disguise the dogs as lions. At least three other species were housed incorrectly. There were two Koipu rodents who were masquerading as snakes. How
do rodents masquerade as snakes?
I would think the legs would be the giveaway there, right? There was a white fox in the leopard's den, and there was another dog who was playing a wolf.
I love it so much.
This is so China.
The chief of the park, well, they are famous for their counterfeiting, right?
Yes.
The chief of the park's animal department, Lu Suya, oh, here we go, this might be part of the answer, told the paper that while it does have a lion, it had been taken to a breeding facility, and the dog, which belonged to an employee, had been temporarily housed in the zoo over safety concerns.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
Sure, that's what happened exactly. Just so happened that day that
right.
a dog was in there, but that's not a normal situation.
No.
What about the rodent and snake? Did somebody...
Doesn't say anything about that.
Did you take the rodent?
Home. Someone else quoted in the article says, this is not funny at all. It's sad for both the zoo and the animals. Plus, they should at least use a husky to pretend to be a wolf.
So they're upset that they didn't use a good enough forgery?
Exactly. What a crazy story. I would be disappointed if I took my little kid to the zoo to see the lion that turned out to be a dog.
Yeah.
I would find that really funny. Because, I mean, really, they're so different.
Right.
And you pay your money to see, like, those. A lion, for example, is one of those that would. That's why you go to the zoo.
Yeah, it's right. Kind of amazing.
Yes, it's amazing.
Because you can't see it anywhere else, exactly.
So a dog.
Good times.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Meacher, shall we?
You want to really do it? I'll give you my f***ing address. Better yet, Google my goddamn name, find it yourself, and show up unannounced. I'll be happy to f***ing greet you at my door. I'll be happy to find you in my bedroom in the middle of the night, you assholes.
Wow.
Rather just do it on the radio. You can tune in or not.
Kiss my ass! Oh,
take it easy. Eva Marie will be in the studio today.
Yes,
that's
indeed.
What I'm talking about.
She's a WWE diva. She's in Maxim, talking about the summer jam that's coming up.
She is apparently a former contestant in the Kevin Aveen Miss Double December pageant.
That's happened, yes.
Apparently that happened, and apparently we were blind that year because how could we not have picked her?
We have Dr. Drew on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
We have Scott Lemieux and George Wright, who are calling about Jungle Gold.
Oh.
Jungle Gold. Another one of those shows.
Yep.
Speaking of those shows, Duck Dynasty.
How was that?
It's an hour. You think I knew that when I volunteered to watch it?
Wasn't last night the very special wedding episode?
Yes, it
of
was,
Duck Dynasty, though?
Yes, so it was.
At least it was exciting.
Nope.
Right?
It wasn't at all. That is not a good show.
We talked about this yesterday for folks who weren't with us about how it's one of the most popular shows in America, yet none of us have seen it. And Kevin volunteered, I'll be the guinea pig. I'll check it out and
thinking
see what it's all about.
It can't be more than a half hour. So that means with commercials, it's 22 minutes.
Right.
How hard can it be to get through 22 minutes?
Well, did they go out and do whatever they do with ducks?
No ducks involved.
Not at all?
None involved. There's no such thing as a duck on this episode.
So, did you see anything in your first viewing of Duck Dynasty that made you understand why it's so popular? Do you see the appeal of the show now that you've at least seen one episode?
Maybe. I will say that a lot of the brothers, and this is a family that I can't figure out. There's brothers and cousins and workers and mom and dad and uncles, mm-hmm. and every one of them goes by its first name, his first name or hers.
Okay.
And the wives are all too hot for the guys. So, you know, they signed up with the show or whatever. But
the guys are all rich, remember, too.
They're all rich from before?
Yeah, they're all rich. I mean, their business was hugely successful before they even got the TV show. So they're all doing very, very well. That's how they got such attractive wives.
I gotcha. Yeah. But that was an hour long.
Yeah.
And that, you owe
it
me.
It felt like how long would you say?
You owe me, is what I'm saying. I was dumb. Bringing highlights. He's like, I'm not doing it under any circumstances. And I thought, what a baby. It's a half hour. I'll do it. And I went home and I was like, it's an hour. Are you kidding?
It's amazing what a difference that makes.
Yes, it is. We're going to talk to Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, talking about Irvine improv shows. Mm-hmm. We have Lily Collins in the 6 o'clock hour talking about the Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. And I don't know if you've heard about the new bra app.
What? Tell me. I need to know.
You send your picture to some NASA scientists.
Okay.
What kind of picture?
Just in a tank top.
Okay.
So you could be covered.
Okay.
And they will tell you just from looking at the picture exactly what bra size you should be buying.
Women have trouble figuring this out.
Well, apparently they don't. NASA doesn't. NASA's. I guess this is NASA's new direction. I don't know.
This is for real.
That certainly sounds legitimate.
I think it is.
Yes.
I don't know exactly. But we'll get into it. We'll find out coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Ralph Showbiz Bean. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ,
woo!
And you are listening to Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Good times.
I'm going to pull this car over and make one of you get out.
God damn it, I want to kill Mugs.
Best show. Best show happens off the air. I've said it forever.
Hey, it's 5:55 Thursday morning. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
This breaks my heart.
Uh-oh.
Gia Alamond of The Bachelor and Bachelor Pad fame has taken her own life at the age of 29 years old.
No.
model and reality TV star had been in critical condition following an apparent suicide attempt, which she tried to hang herself last Monday.
Oh, my God.
Family released a statement saying she was taken off life support due to critical loss of brain and organ function. And so she passed away shortly thereafter.
When I saw that story yesterday, Ralph, I thought of you because I know you're a big Bachelor fan. Did she go far enough in the show those seasons back that you remember her?
Yeah, sure. Gia was deep into her season of The Bachelor. She was third. She was the third person left in season 14. And then she went on to a very successful two appearances on Bachelor Pad, one of which she got to the end with the other dude. And think about Bachelor Pad at the end is they're supposed to split, I forget what it is, $200,000 or something like that. And the two remaining people, it's always a guy and a girl. And then the one extra twist at the end is they decide secretly, they write down whether they want to share the money, so each get $100,000.
Right.
Or keep the money for themselves. And the thing is, if you write share the money, and the other person writes share the money, then you keep it. Then you split the money.
Right.
Right? If you write I want to keep the money, and the other person writes, I want to keep the money, neither of you gets the money.
Oh, interesting.
However, if one person says, yeah, let's share the money, and the other person says, keep the money, all the money goes to the person who says, I want to keep the money.
It's evil.
See what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah.
So she got to the end of Bachelor Pad, and she was very tight with this guy. They had worked their way as a team the whole season long, and they got down to the end. Then they agreed to share the money, and she said, yes, share the money, and he changed his mind and said, keep the money. So all the money went to him, and she got nothing. And it was a famous sort of finale show where she just went off on this dude. Apparently, it had nothing to do, of course, with her suicide. She had been going through a bad relationship with her boyfriend, apparently. But that just seems like, really? Over a love affair, people?
Yeah.
But men and women come and go, many of them throughout your life. None of them is worth this, but just really, really sad news. In other sad news, Simon Cowell is no longer banging Carmen Electra. Yeah, it gets in the way.
Is that happening?
Gets in the way with all that, you know, knocking up your friend's wives thing. Some women frown on that.
The old pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah. Great story coming out from E!
I agree with Bean. Did we know this was happening?
Carmen Electra and Simon Cowell? Yeah.
Oh, we did?
They were a couple. I talked about that several times when they were still together. I know. here's why they broke up, however. Sources are telling E! That this relationship with Lauren Silverman, the wife of his best friend, had been going on for some time, so much so that Carmen Electra ended the relationship with Simon when she found him in bed with Lauren Silverman.
All right.
She's so uptight. Carmen Electra, you had sex with Dennis Rodman. You don't get to make any choices on anyone else's sex life at any time.
Hey, have we done the phone topic, you guys, on literally finding your significant other in the bed with somebody else?
I don't know if we have or not.
We've done a while. Yeah, we've done a lot of stories about people who find out that their other person is cheating, but actually walking in on them and then what happens next in terms of the fight and who leaves and all that, I think would be fascinating stories.
Yeah. Also, just give me a knot in the pit of my stomach. Can't imagine the horror on both ends of that relationship when that happens. And you know what the new celebrity craze is? You know what they're all doing? You know what they all can't stop talking about? Kale, my friend. Kale. It's all about the kale.
I had kale for dinner last night.
I don't know what kale is.
Kale blows.
I have kale a lot.
I don't know what
kale,
it is.
What
I
is
like
it?
Sucks.
I like it a lot.
It's the worst.
It's a green vegetable.
That tastes like ass.
A green
it's
a vegetable food. That tastes like ass.
Yeah. A little bitter.
A little bitter, like...
But if you saute it with like red onions...
Like my nuts are a little large.
It's delicious.
Oh, sweet. Jesus, kale
Ralph,
blows.
Put a little garlic salt on those puppies. You'll love them.
Some garlic salt on my puppies, you'll love them.
As long as you cover the taste with something else.
No, kale's fine. And by the way, there's several different kinds of kale. Some are better than others, too. Maybe you're just trying the wrong kale, Ralph.
I had McHale's Navy.
Come on.
Is that the right kind? I had Kevin McHale. Is that the right kind to have?
Kid from Glee. Curly kale is my favorite of the three that at my supermarket.
I was thinking Boston Celtic. Wasn't the Boston Celtic Kevin McHale?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, here's the Us Weekly story. Here's your kale update. Bette Midler says kale is burning up the veggie sphere.
Is there a veggie sphere?
Apparently, there is.
Come on.
I even make kale chips. Writes Bette Midler. Julia Stiles responds, "I can't get enough kale." I crave it. Shut up. Nobody craves it. Some people may eat it. No one has ever craved kale. No one ever got up for a midnight snack and said, y'all, you know what I'm dying for right now?
No, just a spot.
Just a big bushel of kale. Kevin Bacon says, it's the age of kale. A day without kale is like a day without sunshine. I want all these people dead.
What is happening?
I want them to be buried in a mound of kale. And lastly, Holly Madison, former playmate and girlfriend of Hugh Hefner, writes, I love kale. Makes me poop. So there you go, people.
Wow.
It's all about the kale. And Lisa and Bean also are on the kale bandwagon.
We are.
So by all means, get some kale today.
That isn't good for you.
I have it at least once a week and really enjoy it, Ralph.
That's all you need to know about kale, boys and girls. That's all you need to know. This show is being brought to you by the National Kale Society. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Jennifer Lawrence. Oh,
yeah.
Jennifer
Perfect.
Lawrence.
Perfect.
Oh, J-Law. She is 23 years old today. Singer Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. Or the Joe Bros.
Jonas Brothers, asshole!
Come on. Just talking about Jonas. They're 24 years old today. Natasha Henstridge is 39 years old. Ben Affleck. Actor, director. 41 years old today. Actor Anthony Anderson is 43. And actress Deborah Messing celebrates 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time to welcome Lily Collins to the show.
Sound like you were going to say something there, didn't you?
It did. To me, too.
Lily Collins has been seen in The Blind Side and Priest and Abduction and maybe most memorably last year in Mirror, Mirror, where she got to play Snow White. And she is in a new film that a lot of people are looking forward to that's opening up this weekend called The Mortal Instruments, City of Bones. Hi, Lily. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's our pleasure. This Mortal Instruments, I am finding out, has millions of fans around the world. It's been a book series for a long time, but the official policy of our show is reading is for losers. So, of course, we haven't seen any of it, but my God, what a fan base for this thing, right?
I know. It's like 22 million copies sold worldwide for the past, like you said, 10 years, and my God, people have been, like, some people have been like, I've been waiting 10 years for these movies. It's like, oh, great, no pressure.
Right, exactly. Does that make him a little bit more nervous?
It's funny. I wasn't really that nervous until we started doing these mall tours when people like that would come up and just, you know, say, are you nervous? And it's like, well, actually, I wasn't until 10 million people have asked me if I was nervous. And now I'm like, should I be?
Should I be nervous? Is there something I should know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, why have did no one ask you that before?
Right.
No, I'm more excited, I think, than anything. It's more like the anticipation's growing. And, you know, the good thing is that we've already been greenlit and we're in pre-production for the sequel, which starts next month. So it's kind of like, you know, it comes out next week, but we are already going into the sequel. So that's kind of that's a bit of a confidence booster, I guess, from the studio's perspective.
But
we're really proud of it, and I'm pumped for people to see it finally.
What about you as a look, I understand why you want to do a role like this. Everything I've seen about it makes it look like it was super fun to play, and you get to do a lot of really, really cool stuff. But from a personal standpoint, you know what it has been like for actresses in the past, like Kristen Stewart when she started Twilight or Jennifer Lawrence when she did Hunger Games. I mean, you know that your life is going to change almost overnight once this movie comes out. And is that something you've given a lot of thought to, or are you just going to take it as it comes?
I think you just kind of have to take it as it comes. I mean, I'm a firm believer in everything happens for a reason. And, you know, I had purposefully waited to start auditioning professionally until I was at an age where I could take the rejection of the business, because I never wanted to have any other experience other than going in and auditioning. And some things happen, some things don't. And with these teen franchises, sometimes they play out, sometimes they don't. I feel very strongly and very proud of what we've done, so I hope they do really well, and I know that people will love them. But, you know, I think Jennifer has done an amazing job in recent history of, you know, she did movies before Hunger Games, then Hunger Games happened, and, you know, yes, her life did change, but she's not changed at all.
Right.
I remember meeting her before, and I've, you know, been with her since, and she's, like, the same girl, and I think that's awesome, and I respect that about her so much, and that's not had anything to do with, you know, she's been able to do all sorts of projects even since then. So I'd hope that it would be able, if it got big, to be like that, where I could still, you know, do different projects. And I have, like, my friends and family surrounding me that will call me out the instant anything happens. That they're
sweet.
Like,
well, I think you're smart to look at Jennifer Lawrence as a model for that because she just handles everything beautifully. But I was thinking more of just, you know, all of a sudden you get to be in a movie franchise like this, and now you're a tabloid target. I mean, people start writing about every time you go out of the house sometimes to go to the market or who right. you're dating or who you're going to dinner with.
What are you trying to bum her out? What's happening?
No, I'm just saying that, you know, that's something to really think about. These days, to become a big movie star, there's an actual downside for people.
Yeah, I you know, it's funny. I grew up seeing, obviously, my dad go through pros and cons, and I guess it never turned me off from doing what I love, because I really do. I am just so passionate about acting, and, like, I guess if that comes with it, then it comes with it. And sure, it, like, totally sucks, and it's very strange that someone would want to follow you around and create, like, you know, BS stories about you.
Drama, right?
Very strange. But again, like, I guess I'm surrounded by just really positive people, my friends and family, and I, you know, I try not to read that stuff. Obviously it seeps through at some point. Luckily I'm not, like, on social media, so it's not all the time.
That helps, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's already getting weird when I go to events with my friends, and then as paparazzi, it's very strange. We laugh yeah. about it now, but I'm sure there will come a point when it does get a little bit, you know, more intense, and I just have to deal with it then. But I do firmly believe that I'm gonna stay Lily. I mean, that's a constant.
Right.
So
for people who haven't
deal with it,
I'm sorry. For people who haven't read the book, tell us what your character, Shadow Hunter, is all about.
Well, I play Clary Frey, who thinks she's normal, and then finds out that she's not, and she's this thing called a Shadow Hunter, which is the child of a human and an angel, and it's a story where she goes searching for her mom, who's been stolen by the lead bad Shadow Hunter, to use her as leverage to get to Clary. So along the way, I meet this group of Shadow Hunters led by Jamie's character, Jace, and we kind of go on this epic adventure story about a young female finding her voice and, you know, becoming this Shadow Hunter character, and there's love and drama and comedy. I mean, it really is like every genre, like, put into one. So when someone says, what's it about? I'm like, well, what's it not about? You know, about everything.
So you're kind of discovering and learning about this world, this unseen world, this alternate city and everything like that, kind of as the audience is. We look at everything through your eyes. It's all new to us as well.
Exactly. And that's the cool thing, is that if there's ever a question from the audience of what's going on or who's who, Clary's already one step ahead, and she's asking all the questions. Not, like, in an expositional way, but she's very much one with the audience. So it makes it that much easier when you know, if you're not a fan of the books, you can easily get into them. But if you are a fan of the books, you're kind of going along with it in Clary's adventure as well.
Well, the beautiful thing, and I know you got to go here right now, Lily Collins, but the beautiful thing is you know, these young adult books, if they're done right, like in the Harry Potter movies is a perfect example, they're for everybody. And I bet there are an awful lot of people who are going to become new Mortal Instruments fans when your film opens next Wednesday. This is installment number one, called City of Bones. Again, opens up on Wednesday, August 21st. Lily, you are delightful. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Oh, thank you. No, thank you for having me. I've been listening to you guys for years, so thank you.
Thank you. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We just discovered during that song, during the Fall Out Boy song, that olives are the devil's poo. And we all agreed.
So one of the worst foods in the world. No reason it ever should have been grown or invented or harvested or cooked or made or distributed or eaten. It's terrible.
So it's science now.
Yes.
It is science. Officially, olives are off the menu.
Let's talk about a new app. It's called Third Love. Mm-hmm. And it promises to calculate a woman's bra size using just two tank top clad photos. You take photos of yourself with your iPhone or whatever. Okay. You take a selfie, and then you send in two of them. And a team from NASA, NASA scientists.
It takes NASA to figure out bra size I need, really?
Well, from a 2D photo, they have figured out a way, these NASA scientists. And by the way, we should keep sending people to the moon so they have something to do.
Right, but that's what it is. They're sitting around in Houston going, I don't know, what do you got? I got nothing.
But the person that wrote the article is named Sarah. She's a woman, and okay. She wrote the article saying, at first I was pretty
scared of this because I figured it was just, no, it's NASA scientists, and they've come up with a plan, a program that can look at your photo, turn it into a 3D photo, and then can give you a perfectly accurate bra size that you should be shopping for.
Now, let me interrupt you right there for a second and ask you, Lisa,
Yes. Why
is it so hard? And I see articles all the time that, of course, I then don't click on and read. Why is it so hard for women to buy the right bra? Isn't it pretty easy to measure your bust?
You would think it is, but then you go into the store and you try on bras that are in your size, and you try on like 8 of them and none of them fit right. And then you're like, okay, well, then maybe I didn't do this right. I don't know. And if you gain a few pounds, you lose a few pounds, that can change.
Well, NASA scientists can help.
Well, God bless them.
When I saw the headline, Kevin, I'm sure you had the same reaction I did, which is this is just a scam,
right? Of course.
But apparently it has millions of dollars investors who have contributed to this, and it's up and running, and it's legitimate, and has actual scientists behind it. So we wanted to find out more about this. We asked producer Dave, is there any way he could line us up somebody to talk to from Third Love, the NASA scientist that helps size your bra? And I believe we have a representative or spokesperson on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hello there.
Hi. I'm Buzz.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz Aldrin, the second man on the moon? Pervy old Buzz Aldrin who hit on all the girls on Dancing with the Stars?
I'm Buzz.
Oh, no.
Maybe you should have a different
Did you
spokesman.
Send your boobs yet?
What? Okay.
Did you send your boobs yet?
Well, I don't think you want mine, but
I
Lisa.
Want everybody.
He wants everybody's? Oh, God.
I'm Buzz.
Buzz, if you're trying to get people Silence. To know that...
Silence!
If you want people to think of this as a legitimate site and not just a creep fest, you shouldn't be the person talking about it on the air.
Show me a picture of your boobs.
This says
I'll tell you what bra to wear or something.
Or something.
Whatever.
This says a senior scientist with the Intelligent Robotics Group at NASA Ames Research Center led this development.
That's me. Intelligent Robotics Group. And by robotics, I mean my penis.
Okay,
oh,
Buzz.
Oh, this is just gross. So a lot of girls were... Right, we got it. Yeah. A lot of girls were starting to ask what happens to the pictures, because if it's a scam, then you're going to...
No one else will see them, just me.
That's what you're saying. That's the public line.
Just me and the team here at Third Leg.
I believe it's Third Love.
Third Love.
Third,
Third
Love.
Third Love.
How many pictures have you received so far, Buzz?
100.
Oh, Buzz. Please stop talking in that voice, please.
I'm Buzz.
I'm a little bit surprised that you asked
Silence!
For
Here's what happened.
Silence!
All right, what happened?
Women send me pictures of their boobs.
Right.
And then I tell them what bra they should wear.
Right, yeah, we understand all that. Right, Buzz.
And then if they want, they can send me the bra after they're done with it.
Oh,
well,
Buzz,
that wasn't
please stop
in the
talking.
Now,
sure.
Bean, you're with me, aren't
no,
you, Bean?
No, I'm not with you at all. This is just creepy.
Yeah, you're Bean.
First of all, it's a terrible idea.
We're brothers and creepy
nope,
together.
You are brothers and creepy.
Yeah, we're the creepy boy.
That's true.
I have nothing to do with this. I'm as far away from
creepy
this idea as possible.
Creepy boy. Yeah. No sleep till boobies.
Okay. Buzz, we gotta go. Don't send your photos to Third Love.
Send them to thirdleg.com.
Not Third Leg.
Yeah, I'm Buzz.
All right, Buzz. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, right, Bean, you're with me.
No.
Yeah,
hang up the phone.
You're with me, Bean.
Stop it.
And now, a moment with Bean.
What about... Kanye, Kim Kardashian, does Kanye...
Yeah! Whoa!
Let me try that again.
That was A Moment with Bean.
Trying hard to rescue the title from me.
I am.
I'm willing to give it up. I'm willing to give you the belt.
Bean's no fuckers. He'll just stop and start laughing at himself. He'll disappear into an open manhole of conversation where he just boom, he's just gone. Kevin just gets serious and just fights on and gets a little embarrassed by it and starts to stutter more. And it's magic.
I have a strange belief that I'm going to come out the other side all right.
Yeah.
And
I think Kevin is more impressive than I am because he goes for it, whereas I quit. You're right, Ralph.
Yeah.
That's why he's the king and will always be the king.
That's right.
6:51, Thursday morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
I didn't think there was such a thing as people who didn't like olives. I just assumed that was one of those foods that everyone just adored, like cheese and bacon.
they're a horrible, horrible little food.
Maybe the worst thing ever.
Olives are just one of the most delicious things you can ever eat.
They're like eating pus.
Satan's poo.
It's just madness.
It's Satan's madness.
Disgusting.
Olives are just magical.
Where do you think they come from?
Where do you think they come from?
Olive trees?
The butthole of Satan.
Oh,
that's
really?
Where they come from.
I could have sworn I've seen olive trees. Maybe that's what Satan's butthole looks like, a tree.
No,
you've been tricked into basically
putting Satan's poop into your mouth.
No, no, that's really the best.
Every one of those is a little tiny devil turd.
There's a restaurant in Studio City
called Devil Turds.
That as one of their appetizers serves fried olives.
Okay.
With an aioli dipping sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, never had anything more delicious in your life.
Right, because you have to cover it in something with fry it, and then you have to dip it in something to get rid of the taste of.
Love them in my martinis and just on a tray, just black olives, black olives. Oh, just can't eat them fast enough.
I think all of us are going to puke at the same time if Ralph keeps talking about these olives.
Just go have some kale. Freaking douchebags. Hey, let me give you something now.
Okay.
All right.
Well done. Showtime Championship Boxing. It's going on Saturday, August the 24th at the StubHub Center.
Yay!
Showtime does a great job covering these boxing events. This is Championship Boxing, Mares versus Gonzalez, happening Saturday, August the 24th. Tickets are available at AXS.com. But if you're lucky, caller number 24 right now at 1-800-520-1067. Lucky number 24 will get a pair of tickets to attend the fight of Mares versus Gonzalez
bang,
Saturday,
bang,
August
bang,
the 24th.
Bang, bang, bang,
bang. It's good times.
That's a play-by-play
guy.
You
may want to go to the boxing because some people can't get Showtime on their television.
That's true.
So if you're one of those people, you may want to go and see it live because you can't see it on Showtime because some people won't show you Showtime.
Who are we
Who are we blaming? Who are we?
No. Who are we blaming for the Time Warner CBS standoff?
I don't know who's in the right, who's in the wrong here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Are we not allowed to talk about it? Did we get a memo?
I was just speaking euphemistically. I have no specific details on any particular struggle going on between any two companies that you're referring to.
We've been told that's not a...
We sure have, but good work, Bean.
We're not aware of any such thing.
No, good times.
I think everybody's probably getting all their CBS channels and enjoying them like they should then.
It's the nice thing about living on the island. You have to pay attention to the rest of the world and how the world works here.
I miss a lot of meetings.
You can just keep working on that coconut raft you're building, Gilligan. Good luck. She's got another gig. She's working. She's clean. She's sober. She's working.
How about that?
Just announced she will be a guest star on Eastbound and Down in the upcoming season.
Like fantastic.
Back at work, shooting scenes for the TV series in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's where they show.
We all thought her Oprah interview was last Sunday night, and we missed it. But apparently it's this Sunday.
Yes, we will be checking it out. HBO has confirmed that she will be guest starring on the sitcom's upcoming fourth and final season. Source says that Lohan will play the daughter of one of the show's main characters and was filming a wedding scene set many years in the future in which she was the bride. So there you have it. That's what's going on. Of course, Danny McBride stars and Will Ferrell, one of the producers of that show. Looking forward to it. I think she
Johnson plays his dad. She
should do a ton of comedy. That's a good move for her.
Yeah.
Get out of the serious stuff, the Canyons and the Liz and Dicks and all that stuff, and just concentrate on comedy, because people will forgive a lot if you're funny. And she's got pretty good sense of humor.
I think so, too.
Right.
Kristen Stewart is someone who also has an excellent sense of humor.
Oh, she's hilarious.
Oh, boy. Is she a cut-up or what?
Oh, man. Could never keep a straight face around her.
She's getting a little fed up with the life of Hollywood. She feels a little abused by the paparazzi and the press. Mm-hmm. So she's considering a new life. She has signed up for a correspondence course in English literature at UCLA. Well, I could see why you'd want a correspondence course. You can't get all the way to UCLA from Los Angeles. I'd see why you have to do it via mail or however she's doing it. She says she's a voracious reader and would like to get a proper education. So she's taking an English lit course from UCLA, which is basically just read books and get credit for it, right?
Yeah.
Is that what happens in an English lit course?
She's figuring she does that anyway. Might as well.
It's very wise. Great casting news coming out of the offices of Family Guy, a TV series that I hold near and dear to my bank account. Lauren Bacall, the legendary actress Lauren Bacall, will be guest starring on an episode of Family Guy this season.
Wow.
She will play Peter Griffin's mom's best friend, who bonds with Peter after the death of his mom, until she starts making completely inappropriate passes at him. Show is set to air in January.
More She's got to be around 80, doesn't she?
She's 88 years old.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Rhys Ifans, of course, who played the Lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man and also was in Notting Hill. He has just joined the cast of a TV series on Showtime. Once again, not everybody gets Showtime. Mm.
Yes, they do.
Philip Seymour Hoffman will star in a sitcom called Trending Down, where he works in an ad agency, and Rhys Ifans will play his boss on the show. I'm laughing already. I know nothing about this.
I agree. Yeah.
And in music news, what a great, great week for the band The Civil Wars. Their debut album, The Civil Wars.
Second album.
Well, it's debuted this week. This album.
I got you. Sorry.
It debuted this week. Number one. Number one in the top 10 album charts this week. Great news for Joy Williams and John Paul White. They were a couple when they recorded that album. Now, not so much.
Now, not a couple?
Yeah. They will not be on tour and have no plans to promote this album.
Really?
Yeah. They just hate themselves and their lives right now. Wow. Imagine having the number one album in America and just hating everything about it and not wanting to.
And the band being broken up.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Would suck. Do you know their biggest hit, though, Ralph?
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
They recorded their first album, and it was a big hit. And then they went out on tour, and then they broke up, hated each other, said they'd never speak with one another again. And then somehow they managed to put the pieces back together, drag the ashes out of the fire, rekindle a spark, and make that second record, put it out, hated each other all over again. Now they'll never talk to each other again. It's just, it's the craziest thing. Hilariously, their band name is The Civil Wars.
That is hilarious. Listen. We're all laughing.
They're all fighting amongst themselves.
That's nuts. Because they're like two halves of something that are fighting against each other.
Good band, though.
Yeah. Good band indeed.
Good former band.
And Halle Berry and Jennifer Garner were in Sacramento this week. Did you see this story at all?
I did. I saw the testimony. It was crazy.
I didn't see it.
Appeared in front of state lawmakers to try to get support to pass SB 606 was the name of the law they were supporting. It is a bill that would change the definition of harassment to include photographing a child without the permission of a legal guardian. This, of course, would apply to celebrities like Jennifer Garner and Halle Berry when it comes to their children, which I think is a brilliant idea. I think kids should be off the table when it comes to these paparazzi. It's one thing you want to shoot Jennifer Garner when she's out and about, but leave the kids alone. Halle Berry testified in front of the lawmakers, telling a story about how crazed photographers almost forced her to crash her car, almost caused a flight down a flight of stairs while she was pregnant, made her daughter afraid to attend school. Jennifer Garner talked about the time that there was a stalker that was arrested behind her daughter's preschool while standing amongst the paparazzi. He was blending in with the paparazzi.
Wow, that's scary.
Claims her 17-month-old son was terrified by photographers. Another photographer knocked a 3-year-old child to the ground trying to get a shot of her kid. So they really claim that this is a serious issue that needs to be addressed. Now, some media organizations are saying the bill could interfere with news gathering.
Yeah.
Really? How much news is the 17-month-old generating that you need to capture that? Anyway, SB 606 has passed and now heads to the Appropriations Committee, so it looks like it's going to be a law soon. So, good news.
That's a tough issue. I mean, that's a really fascinating free speech debate that's going on right now about this case. I'm very curious to see how it comes out.
I think, as in a lot of cases, minors are off limits. They do it in a lot of other cases. You can't publish the name of a minor victim of a crime. You can't put that in a newspaper or magazine. That's news gathering. That's First Amendment, right? There are certain rights afforded to minors that you don't give to adults.
Yep.
Well.
There's no well about it. That's how it is. It's science.
It is science.
Olives are great. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Not science.
Deborah Messing's 45 years old today.
Olives love.
Anthony Anderson is 43. Kel sucks. Ben Affleck is 41. Natasha Kentrick. Natasha Kent. Huh? One more time. Take three. Back it up. Back up the tape. We rolling? Are we rolling?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Natasha Henstridge is 39 years old today. Joe Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, or the Joe Bros, as we call them, 24
years old.
Hey, those
Jonas Brothers, asshole!
Oh, come on. And Jennifer Lawrence, boy, she's a good deal right there. She's 23 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Bobby Slayton is in the studio and is fighting with headphones.
And losing.
And losing.
Hey, first of all, I want to tell you that, and I don't really want to bring this up, but you know, that olive thing. I'm Ralph's son. I love, and even Ellie Mae Clampett over here, you don't like olives either.
I think they're disgusting.
And the little devil turns. What about pickles?
I hate pickles.
You hate pickles?
But they're not the devil's poo.
No, the devil's
like olives.
Maybe that's. What about you, Bean? You like pickles?
Love them, hate olives. Olives are the worst food in the world.
The devil turns.
They're the worst food ever.
Yeah, kind of a little segue here. Speaking of devil turns, so yes. I, Mr. Pitbull of comedy, have a miniature pincher, a little gay dog. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess in the last month what he's been doing, I've been out of town. I was at the Montreal Comedy Festival. I was at Radio Boot Camp, which I got to tell you, with all the morning radio shows.
Radio Boot Camp.
Yeah, I had to perform for those guys last Saturday.
Right. You were at that in Chicago?
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
I can't wait.
I got a funny story for you. But anyway, so my wife, you know, who's complaining about everything, I guess our biggest problem, first it's termites, then it's this. It's always something when you own a home. So now our miniature pincher, who's 10 years old, has decided he's bringing his little turds in the house, and he's eating them, and he's putting them in our bed. Okay.
You know,
we're
people
doing
eat,
a morning
you know,
show,
people
Bobby.
Eat
breakfast
oh, wait,
at this time of day.
We could talk about devil turds or olives, but we can't talk about real turds.
Okay. Well played.
So my wife says to me, and for one of the real times she's right, she says, why do you call the vet? I hear there's something you can put in the dog's food to make the turds taste bad. How much worse can they taste? What are they going to taste? Like olives? How much worse? How much
That's
worse?
A real thing?
Yes, yeah. I've tried it.
What?
Not for the dog I have now, but for my other dog.
I thought maybe for you personally.
No.
She ate it. Yeah, she tried it.
So I called my wife and go, what do you have? How can you put something in a dog's food? How much worse can turds taste? Anyway, I called up the vet, and there is something you could put into the food.
That's
so, the dog,
so that's literally a big enough deal that a company had to come out with that.
Yes, so it's not just my dog. Wow. But I thought the only way to make turds taste worse is if my wife had a recipe for them. I thought that would be possibly the only way on the face of the earth. But anyway, yes, I'm at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday. And Ralph Garman, Ralph, you're a gossip girl.
Yes.
You know, he said two things this morning. First of all, he said that when he was just on with his Hollywood Report, mm-hmm. he mentioned that he's talking about Lindsay Lohan.
Right.
And he said, you know, people tend to forgive you when you're funny. People, you know, whatever he said, something about when you do comedy. Well, that's why I need to be forgiven. That's all I have is comedy. I really have nothing left. And every time I come on your show, I think my new book's going to be done, which it isn't. My Showtime special is going to be done, which it isn't. And, you know, you had two guests on the first hour that have done more in the last week in show business than I've done in 10 years.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel inadequate. It's like when I hosted the Porn Awards. I'm hanging out with guys who've had better sex in a month than I've had my whole life. It's just inadequacy, fellas.
Let me give the details on Bobby's appearance. If you want to see the Pitbull, that gives him a chance to breathe too.
Yes,
he doesn't need time to breathe. First of all,
is going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv starting tonight. Show number one is at 8 o'clock tonight. Then you have one show Friday night. Then two shows Saturday. One show on Sunday. What's going on with Friday night? Why are you a slacker and only doing one performance?
Well, I think you know, and I owe another thank you to Ralph the Gossip Girl because Ralph's doing his podcast at 10 o'clock.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Him and Kevin, are doing that.
You've been bumped.
You didn't know that?
Yeah, but not at the Irvine Improv.
Yes.
Are they? Oh, they
yes.
are. Oh, I thought this is that week. I didn't realize that.
You didn't know that, Bean?
I knew he was going to go down there.
Well, how
cool
is this? They call me up 2 weeks ago. My agent calls me up and says, listen, you don't have to do the Friday Lake show. You're going to get paid. But they're doing somebody else is going to be performing.
They're going to pay you for nothing?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Awesome. And I just said, and Ralph just asked me if I was mad. I said, yeah, I'm mad you're not doing more podcasts. I don't know why you can't do maybe one Saturday, one Sunday. Do like three of them. That way you take a few weeks off the podcast.
Nice.
Do all the, you know, if I could find a way to make money and not work. And I don't, you know, it's like.
That is the key, isn't it?
But
there's got to be a way.
The lottery.
See people invent stuff all the time, and they're set for life. They're done and set for life.
Right. But I never got these guys, and I don't think you were these guys, that if you won millions of dollars in the lottery, you'd keep your job. I like these people that keep their job.
Bean has told us many times he would quit and not even tell us that he won.
He'd just disappear.
No forwarding address. We'd never hear from him again.
I wouldn't even come in for a goodbye show to wrap things up. I just would literally vanish, change all my phone numbers, move. You'd never hear from me again. And that's a problem.
I would come in, But only for a couple of weeks, and I have the worst attitude. Because what are they going to do, fire me?
But what you should do is barricade yourself. Like, what I think, didn't Alan Freed do that in that movie? You barricade yourself and just say the most horrible things. Let the FCC, what are they going to come after? What are they going to do to you? You have all this money. Just say everything you wanted to say.
Oh, that would be interesting.
So, Bobby, if you had won, if you had been one of those people who won the Powerball last week, that $400 and something million, and I know it got split, so it wasn't quite that much.
Yeah.
Would you ever step on a stage again if you won that kind of money?
No. No, well, you know what?
I bet you would after a while.
Yeah. You know what it is? When you look at a lot of famous comics like the Billy Crystals or the Robin Williams, the Jim Carreys, or anybody that goes into movies, you know, every once in a while, Tim Allen, you know, they'll come back, they'll do a benefit show, they'll come into the Laugh Factory, they'll go into the comedy store, because I think I wouldn't be crazy like Seinfeld, who's got more money than everybody in the world put together. Right. And he's still performing every weekend because he loves it. You know, I guess that's all.
But if you took 6 to 8 months off and didn't do any stand-up, it probably would feel pretty good to get back on stage.
Well, you know what? It'd be probably a week or two until I find something horrible to say about my wife and that nobody will listen to me. The only time I get anybody to listen to me is when they've paid, maybe by mistake, when I have a captive audience in a comedy club like this weekend at the Irvine Improv. Hey, by the way, this is like the greatest week of my life because not only have I been on the road for a month, I've never been gone for so long. I was 2 weeks at the Montreal Comedy Festival, like I said, doing some one-nighters. But this is so great. After a month, my wife comes to get me at the airport, and she picks me up at the American Airlines terminal. I drive to the United Airlines terminal and drop her off. She's going to her sister's wedding. She's out of my hair for 2 weeks. I have never had my house. So this is not only 6 weeks without my wife.
Wow.
I got my house. It's like Home Alone. But here's the funny thing. I don't know what to do. You know, when I was a teenager, I could, you know, I'd call up girls. I'd get drugs.
Right.
I you know.
Why don't you do that?
Get girls?
Yeah.
And drugs?
Uh-huh.
You know, I never thought about this. Because I know Mrs. Kravitz, who lives next door from Bewitched. I know people are looking at me with binoculars and telescopes.
Old crazy Mrs. Kravitz will turn you in.
Yeah, and my wife probably will dust for fingerprints. She'll probably get cameras set up and the little tiki mug on the wall on the shelf. But you know what it is? I have nothing to do. All I could do for the last 3 days, since my wife's not been there, is listen to the Ramones and eat red clam sauce and watch porn. And I'm going, this is the best I got.
That's sort of sad.
Clam sauce and the Ramones.
That's a little sad.
Three things
she hates. By the way, I hate to be the voice of dissent here. That sounds like a pretty good life.
Yeah, but
that doesn't sound bad at all, Bobby.
Yeah, but I just want to do more. I want to do more. Meanwhile, so enough about me. Can I talk about you guys for a second?
Sure.
Okay. Actually, you have to pause right there, Bobby, because we need to take a break. Bobby Slayton is here.
God,
he is the Pitbull of Comedy. He's at the Irvine Improv this week, starting tonight at 8 o'clock. Then you can see him tomorrow night. Then two shows Saturday, one show Sunday. Bobby is the best on stage. Go to irvine.improv.com. Tickets are just $20. More with our guest in a moment on the Kevin and Bean Show on camera. In case you're wondering, he's just as exhausting off the air as he is on. Our friend Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday, and Sunday. Great way to spend your weekend at irvineimprov.com to get those tickets. By the way, they are the stars of Jungle Gold. Scott and George are coming in the 8 o'clock hour. Dr. Drew and also WWE diva Eva Marie all on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Wow.
All right. It's got to move Bobby out, and then things start happening.
Well, that's why, you know what, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys having me on, because every time I said I'd come in, I got nothing going on. You had me on a few months ago. I want to thank Ralph again for doing his podcast Friday night. Meanwhile, they called up Ralph and said, we'd like you to come in and do your podcast, which was kind of the improv's way of saying, look, we don't really need Bobby Friday night for two shows.
That's true.
But we can have you do your little gossip fest, which is fine with me.
But people could go Friday night, see your show.
Yeah.
Can they stay for...
As far as I'm concerned, it's fine with me.
So not really.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I'm sure it's a separate ticket, but that does sound like an awesome, complete evening of entertainment to get both shows. That's
so I do want to say this because I'm always talking about me. And that's when a guest comes on, I guess that's why you're on the radio, to talk about your latest project. But I just want people to appreciate Kevin and Bean, because this past weekend, have you guys ever done that morning radio boot camp in, I guess they do it in different cities once a year.
Kevin, you went once a few years ago, right?
I went 1 year, yes.
Well, for your listeners that don't know what it is, I guess what all these morning teams around the country, Gus and Russ and Russ and Gus and Tom and Bob and Bob and Tom and Todd and Tyler and Tyler and Todd, Morning Zoo, all these shows come together for a weekend of seminars and drinking and lectures and drinking and discussions and drinking, and then they go to the bar and they drink more.
Sure.
And you have a lot of the top morning radio shows there, so I had to perform for them at a luncheon, and there's nothing really tougher than performing at a luncheon in a ballroom. It looks like you're on Titanic with the big chandeliers. The lighting isn't exactly great. It's like one Harm and Obey. There's like these, it's horrible. It's like when my father did home movies, and the sound is abominable, and these guys are all hungover.
And they're probably not paying attention. They're probably talking to each
actually,
other.
They actually were, because I've done almost all their morning shows, you know, because
oh, right.
I've been on
you.
A lot of these shows. But what they did was, I go to this, right before my performance, they have a thing, the top 50 radio stunts of the year, and all these guys from these little stations get up, they start talking about the stunts. And there was one team that said, you know, well, we took a listener, we blindfolded the listener, and we played Pin the Tail on the Donkey, but it wasn't a donkey, it was Sarah Palin. I went, oh my God, what a stunt. I wonder if Evel Knievel was still alive, if he could put a stunt like that up. And then we got a guy that looked like Ryan Gosling, but we called him Brian Gosling. And I said, we dressed him up as a girl, and he went to a bank, and I'm going, wow. And it makes you appreciate Kevin.
Kevin, I hope you're writing some of this down. This is pretty good stuff.
I can only write so fast.
But I just want people to realize that when Bobby Slayton and Kevin Amin go away, it's like Johnny Carson. When I used to watch Johnny Carson,
easy.
And it became, it's Johnny Carson. He's on every night. And now on TCM, they're showing the best Johnny Carson. I forgot how great this guy was.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just want your listeners to realize, you know, with satellite radio, with cable television, with all the things, that you got to appreciate Kevin Amin. And it's maybe not that you're that good or I'm that good, but compared to the crap that's out there, the cream rises.
So everybody else is worse.
Yeah, I'm trying to give you a compliment.
That's all right.
Backhanded
way. That's, that's as good as it gets. But I'd like to also admonish our listeners to appreciate us.
Yeah, they really should. No, and also to be on a market like this, you know, in L.A. You know, by the way, the only people beating you are the Spanish stations. I'm thinking, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
What are you guys to be at the top of L.A.? Totally.
Right.
One of you, and I'm not saying which one. I'm not saying which one's more important, like Laurel and Hardy.
Right.
But either Kevin, I mean, one of you should just speak Spanish. And this way.
All the time. Full
time. Yes, because this way there's no bickering because you don't understand the other guy. And you get the Spanish and the English market. I'm always thinking of ideas for you.
Nice.
Okay?
Well, I know the word puto, but that's it. After that, I'm out.
How do you say olives?
Olive. I don't know.
Same way.
But you know what it is? No, you guys really are great. And
please, Bobby. Enough already. Enough already.
No, you're great. No, you're the best.
But seriously,
we're only great because you're here,
yeah,
though.
No,
come on,
right,
let's be honest.
I think my wife said this. She said it last week, but I think I might have said this on your show. My wife every once in a while says to me, you know, you got to admit, as wives go, I'm a great wife. Yeah, but see, you got to qualify it.
As wives go.
As serial killers go, Charles Manson's not as bad as Jeffrey Dahmer. He never ate anybody. He never actually killed anybody. So in the world of serial killers, Charles Manson, as serial killers go.
So, but you don't appreciate your wife then for what she does?
Well, I do. Just like people should appreciate you and me.
All right.
Irvine Improv. Wow, it is I'm exhausted listening to me.
Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday night. Go to irvine.improv.com to buy tickets to see Bobby Slayton on stage for only $20. By the way, tomorrow on this show, we've got a kid. We're going to call him Brian, but his real name is Ryan. We're going to dress him up as a girl and send him into a bank. Oh, is it going to be hilarious?
I could do that stuff for you. I could be a roving reporter.
I like it.
All right.
Best idea you've ever had.
Next time I come back, I'm already planning my next Thanksgiving time.
Thanksgiving.
I'll be playing back in L.A.
Right.
My book should be done. If you can't laugh at yourself,
you've been saying that for a year and a half.
No, but
what's the name of it? I'm sorry.
If you can't laugh at yourself, make fun of other people. My 35 years
like
in showbiz hell. It's really cool, and hopefully I got some big stars to write some nice things.
Look, this is the time. Your wife is out of town.
Yes.
You've masturbated as much as you can. You've eaten everything in the fridge.
Nope, I can see from his face he's not done with that. He's not finished with that.
Go home and start typing, Bobby, and get the goddamn book out,
okay.
All right?
I'll bring you a copy for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
All right, man.
Oh,
we'll see you soon.
I watched Bride of Frankenstein last night, the Blu-ray you gave me.
Thanks, Bobby. Way to go out on a complete non sequitur.
I want to thank you for that.
Way to confuse our audience. See you next time, Bobby.
All right, bye.
Thank you. By the way, this time next week, broadcasting live from New York City. If you'd like to join us in the Big Apple and be at the MTV Video Music Awards, you can stop by any Southern California T-Mobile location. Just walk on in and say, hey, what's the password so I can sign up for that deal that Kevin and Bean are doing? They'll give you the password. You put it in at krock.com, and then stand by. We'll give you a call to win, and you join us in New York City.
Bean, how many viewers does, Walking Dead have or Mad Men?
Those are very different because Walking Dead is the biggest thing going. I think Walking Dead has, you know, 10, 11, 12 million, something like that. Mad Men's probably about 3 or 4.
Duck Dynasty has about 9 million.
What?
Duck
Seriously?
Dynasty. Yes.
So on a regular week, Duck Dynasty has like 3 times more viewers than Breaking Bad does.
Yes.
It's unbelievable how popular this show is. And until we started talking about it yesterday, none of us on this show had ever seen it before. Not even one of us had ever tuned in for one episode. And we were like, what's up with Duck Dynasty?
So how could it be getting such good ratings? One of us needs to find out. And then we got into a giant argument. Bean didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. Nobody wanted to do it. And
yep.
I ended up getting the short straw. So I watched Duck Dynasty. And when we first joined the family, I guess it's a family that makes duck calls.
Correct.
Is the deal. But they also hunt, and they do a lot of different things. And at the beginning of the show last night, I'm not kidding you, when I say this is a season premiere, and they come out of the gate strong with two brothers playing Battleship on TV.
How about E5? I'll take that as a hit.
Seriously,
indeed.
So
seriously.
How old are, I don't know any of the people on this show, how old are these people playing Battleship on TV?
Well, first of all, they all look like ZZ Top. They all have long beards. They're probably 45 or 50.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
I think. I don't know. But their parents are having their 49th wedding anniversary the next day. So the wives, who are clearly too hot for the guys, come up with the idea of, I guess, back 49 years ago when the couple met, they didn't have a proper wedding. So it was going to be a surprise wedding so that they could have a real wedding after all these years without telling them. So the women are trying to get the guys to do it, and the guys are all just hemming and hawing. They don't want to have anything to do with it. One of them says,
we have a recipe for disaster here.
So they want to plan a secret wedding. Yes,
I hate to interrupt.
Yes.
Wedding renewals are BS for starters.
Right.
But why 49 years? Isn't that an idea you would save for one more year and do it on 50?
That was my first thought, but okay. I don't, they didn't.
They didn't explain that. Okay.
I think they needed a season opener for their TV show.
Okay, got it.
So there's like, there's the CEO of Duck Dynasty, and then he's got a couple of brothers, and then they have some employees. All of them look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And then dad and mom, and then dad's brother, Sai. And Sai, I love. Because he is certifiable. He's crazy. So they say, Sai, we need you to get the parents out of the house for the day tomorrow. But whatever you do, don't tell them about the surprise. Do not tell them that. And he says, okay, I won't. I can do it. I can handle it.
Whatever you do, do not tell them what we're doing. Think you can handle that?
Hey, it's a piece of cake. Hey, look, y'all forgot? Hey, I survived Nam, okay?
You survived Vietnam.
Hey, Sai, what you need?
Hey, look, we got a big surprise for you.
A surprise?
The wives are all going, no, not a surprise.
Wait, I got it. I got this. Don't worry about it. 5 seconds later, he's on the phone giving the whole thing up?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So he's going to take them out for a day of memories. That's his idea of wasting time. He's going to drive them to a spot where they met. And he's going to drive him to an ice cream shop. I don't know. It's just weirdest thing ever. But see if you can follow this conversation. So now this is the dad and his wife sitting in front of their house. And Sai, his brother, comes up and he's late. See if you can follow this conversation.
Okay.
It's about time.
Speaking of the ice cream, man. Hey, sorry I'm late. I almost ran out of gas.
Ran out of gas.
Hey, it takes time to fill up.
Well, I'm glad you got gas.
No, I didn't get gas.
Oh, you went by BJ's. There's a gas station. Pumps outside, you know?
No, I didn't want to be late, so I went by there.
Well, that don't make sense. Why wouldn't you stop and get gas?
Because I didn't want to be late.
But you are late.
Yeah.
What?
Nope.
What?
And he's got to get gas.
I'm out.
Sai is crazy. So now I'm sort of getting on board. Because I like crazy.
That's PTSD right there.
Well, it's like any little kid who wants to see someone who looks like himself on their TV
shows.
How
dare you? So then he takes them to the house where they first met when they were kids. And it's not the house where they first met at all.
Hey, it's a surprise trip down memory lane. I did a little research, okay, and I actually found the house for Phil and Kay first met.
That is not where we met.
Debbie Gibson was the one that introduced y'all to each other.
No.
I thought her name was Debbie Gibson.
No.
Debbie Gibson's house. Debbie Gibson.
There is no Debbie Gibson.
Debbie Gibson.
Yep. He just won't let it go.
Oh, my God. Where
this is on TV.
It is on TV. People watch it. Where do these people live? Where's that horrible accent from?
I don't know.
Okay.
Alabama, maybe. I haven't watched it enough. I only watched last night, by the way, which I thought was a half hour. You can't wrap up a show like this in a half hour.
Heck no.
You got to go for a full hour. So they go for a full hour. And then comes my favorite person in the entire world, their neighbor, Mountain Man, who also has a giant beard. And you can barely understand what he's saying, but they ask him to build an arbor for the wedding. Mm-hmm. That's like an arch, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's what you stand under for the ceremony, right?
So he brings over in the back of his truck a bunch of tree branches and a bunch of stuff that's not put together at all, and listen to him.
All we got to do is kind of put it together. I got the pieces on the truck.
Mm-hmm. You haven't actually put it together.
Figured I'd get the heavy stuff done here.
We're ready. Like, we have got to move fast here.
Oh, okay.
What is that noise he's making?
Oh, wow.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
He's Mr. Mackey. It's a real-life Mr. Mackey.
He kind of
is. How is that possible? So now she asks him if he knows what an arbor is because he's really, really, really behind and he's not building it right and blah, blah, blah.
Mountain Man, you understand what an arbor is, right?
Mm-hmm. Arbor.
Three times what Breaking Bad gets.
Wow.
What?
This is kind of stunning.
So then they clearly take a break in the show, and set designers come in because they've literally built like 1/100th of a wedding scene. So then in the show, in the time of the show, the parents just show up, and then you look at it and you go, there's tables, there's tablecloths, there's flowers. They're all dressed up, mm-hmm. and you just go, well, how much time passed? A month before they finally got this together? Because they were just barely starting to put it together, and then at the end of the show, it looked beautiful. And Mom and Dad showed up, and they were very surprised on their 49th anniversary. And
You're saying this isn't real?
I'm saying the timeline isn't real, yes, because it's just ridiculous. And so this whole show is about their parents having a surprise wedding. What this has to do with duck calls or hunting or any of that, maybe, I don't know.
This is the fourth season of this show.
Yes.
So maybe when it started, that's what they talked about a lot. And now maybe that America has fallen in love with this family. Maybe it's just supposed to mean something to us to see these old people happy with each other and have all their kids around them. Could that be what's happening here?
I guess. So Mom starts speaking at the wedding.
I don't even know where to start. The first thing I'd say is from the time I was 14 years old, I loved you. When we were poor and you were not so nice.
What? Wait a minute. Oh. We're having a wedding ceremony. Really have to bring up that I was an ass when
you
I was younger?
Were a dick.
What the hell?
Now you're really nice.
Now you're nice. I get it.
Now and that then, you have money.
And maybe I'm kind of with Kevin that you leave you're a dick out of your wedding vows.
It may be true, but I don't know that you need to include that when you're doing kind of a summary of your relationship. And then at the end of it, the CEO of Duck Dynasty has a message for all of us so that we all learn a very important lesson.
For a marriage to work, a man needs to do anything and everything in his power to keep his wife happy. For the Robertson boys, that means spending all day long decorating a yard for a surprise wedding that's half a century late. For Phil, it means begrudgingly going along with your family's bonehead ideas for your anniversary. But looking at Kay, I guess it isn't such a bonehead idea after all. And as far as everyone is concerned, it was all mine.
Are you going to carry me over the threshold?
That's right, honey.
Isn't that sweet?
Can he lift her? I haven't seen her.
No.
No.
Not a chance.
West Monroe, Louisiana is what we're
Louisiana.
Being
all right.
That's where the Duck Dynasty kids all live.
And
so
Bean will bring us highlights next week.
How dare you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
If you've ever had the bright idea, I know what I'm going to do to make some money. I'm going to move to Africa and mine for gold. Then you want to stick around and talk to a couple of guys who have done it. Scott and George from Jungle Gold join us right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
I can't take it any longer.
Can't take what any longer?
This civil war that's tearing our nation apart. Brother versus brother.
Zimmerman case?
No.
Oh.
Olives. The Battle of the Olives.
Oh, Devil's Poop?
Devil's Poop.
Here's the thing. Half the team is pro-Olive. Beer Mug, myself, Casey, who's got her finger on the button over
right
there, and assistant producer Christine, all big, big Olive fans.
But Beer Mug is on your team.
Yeah. Who knows more about food than Beer Mug? If you're going to back him on one subject matter, what would it be?
He doesn't taste his food.
Yeah, but look who's anti-Olive.
He just shoves it down his throat.
You got Captain Chocolat. Kevin won't eat anything unless it's got a half a pound of Hershey syrup on it.
Well, that is true, actually.
The guy who considers Denny's as fine dining. That's where Bean goes to eat a meal.
All right, we're not food experts.
And Lisa used to drink White Zinfandel and would pour Splenda into it. That was her idea of a glass of wine. These are the palates we're talking about when it comes to olives. So I said, what are we going to do?
Point.
This is a subject matter that's tearing us asunder. And in these kind of situations, we have to call on the decider, don't we?
Mine's the final decision. I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider. Decider. And I decide what is best.
When life's mysteries seem unsolvable, when the hard questions demand a final answer, America turns to the one man we can all trust. He's Kevin Smith, and he's the decider.
Wow, this means no more arguing.
No more arguing.
I gotta tell ya. All right. Turn the music down.
Jesus, turn it down.
As much as I know in my heart that you are wrong, Ralph, I have to abide by whatever decision the decider makes because he lays down the law.
Because it's tearing us apart. We need to put this to bed, and there's no way we can settle this unless we turn to a power greater than ourselves.
We've all decided that if Kevin Smith goes one way or the other, that we have to go that direction as well.
He's Abraham Lincoln trying to heal the nation after a bloody civil war.
He's the lawgiver. That's who he is. He's the lawgiver from the Planet of the Apes.
All right.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith?
Man and ape shall sit down beside one another.
So this means
before we go anywhere, and yes. I know this is an important decision.
It is very important.
You would call me this early in the morning.
But that's right.
Did I really just hear that Lisa put Splenda in a Zinfandel?
Yes, I used to.
I used to happen all the time.
That's how she would enjoy a glass of wine, Kevin Smith.
Why the Splenda?
To make it sweeter.
Because White Zinfandel was not sweet enough for Lisa as a glass of wine.
With the sweet.
Oh, my Lord. You're like a little sugar queen. That's adorable. Yeah.
That's adorable. So, Kevin, we had no idea that this was even going to present itself on today's program. It was Kevin Ryder, our Kevin, who brought it up just out of the blue about olives today. And then we got to talking about it. And then it just turned into, punches were being thrown. And then cars were being turned over and set on fire. And it's gotten very ugly very quickly in here. And we frankly can't go on as a show unless we get this thing decided.
But Bean, if the decider comes down in favor of olives, then that means we can no longer argue.
That's correct. However, if he comes against olives, then it means that I can no longer argue.
Although I suspect that Ralph wouldn't put him on the air unless he knew he was going to
solicit. I did not solicit his opinion in any way.
You didn't.
You just
said get on the phone.
I just said we need this. If ever we needed him, we need him now.
Smith, is that true? Will you back that up?
I feel like one of those kids when you're in school and your parents and the teacher talk about you and you're right there.
So you have not told Ralph your decision yet, right? You just agreed to come on the air.
No, there's no way I could be the decider and let early things slip to a best friend of mine. That would be ridiculous.
All right.
Kevin takes this role very seriously.
All right. Are there any qualifying questions you need to ask us about the discussion before you give us the ruling?
Just one. What are we talking about today?
Olives are the devil's poop.
Olives are one of the great foods in history.
Ready for it?
We're ready.
Yep. Only if it's devil's poop.
No, Kevin.
Olives are nature's testicles.
Yes! Wait, that's bad, right?
Yes.
If you like them in your mouth, fantastic. But generally speaking, most of us don't go
that's
for it.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
Oh, the decider is so wise.
He is so wise.
I would rather eat two ball-shaped spheres of high-fructose corn syrup.
And we know how you hate the corn syrup.
Two crystallized ice cube balls of Zinfandel with Splenda.
So now,
I would ever eat an olive.
Now I've been in this situation before, Kevin. And tell me if you're with me now that I know your feelings. I've been in a situation where I've been starving, and there's been delicious hot pizza, but it's had olives on it, and there's no way I could even begin to want to eat it.
Oh, I can take the olives off.
Yeah. I've done
that. If there's a pimento involved, I Bobby Sands it, I hunger strike. I will not do it.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I don't get it. I'm not quite even sure what fruit or vegetable it is. Anybody know?
Nope.
It just comes from the butthole tree. That's
no,
all.
It's also from an olive tree, and it's delicious. And you pick
I'm
it,
sorry, Ralph. And, it is no longer then, delicious. Then, the cider has ruled.
It doesn't mean it's not delicious. I mean, we can't argue about it anymore because the rule, the lawgiver has stepped forward. But this is why he should be in the forbidden zone.
He is our Supreme Court. It is now officially the law of the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Smith is the decider. Yes. Thank you, Kevin.
So let it be written, so let it be done.
Thank you.
Well, I burned my entire showbiz beat for that bit, but I think
it was worth it.
It.
And he ruled against you.
I know.
Wow.
Well, look, I am more than willing to abide by the word of the decider, but I just thought we had to put it to bed, finally.
I like
it.
That was smart. I'm glad you did. I'm just happy that there's now finally justice.
I do, too. Now we can lay down our arms and once again hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
Have we ever done that?
Kumbaya. I don't think we've ever. My Lord, come on, take my hand.
Kumbaya. I don't think we've ever done that.
Take
before.
My goddamn hand. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How low on the list of jobs that you would ever think about doing, Kevin, would be going to Ghana to mine for gold?
I don't think that would ever enter my mind.
Well, it certainly entered Scott and George's mind. Scott Lomu and George Wright in studio. They are gold miners in Ghana. The show is called Jungle Gold on the Discovery Channel, and they join us in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, guys. How are
hey,
you?
Doing good. Glad
happy to be here.
Give us a brief overview of how you ended up in Ghana. Going after gold.
Oh, long story short. Okay, so I've got this father-in-law, and you know he's an attorney out in Salt Lake City. Some guys approached him a couple years ago and said, "Hey, let's go make a lot of money flipping gold in Ghana." And so he gathered up all his rich buddies, and they went out to Ghana to flip gold. Turns out they got scammed for $1.5 million.
Oh!
And that money's gone.
It's gone.
It's not coming back.
I'm talking sophisticated scam. This is like Nigerian prince.
Nigeria? Yeah.
No. This isn't Nigerian prince email. This is government, military, sophisticated scam.
So before the story goes on, so he gave a lot of money to somebody who said, "We're going to invest this money, or we're going to do something with this money
that's going to give you a
great return."
This was come out and buy 500 kilos of gold. Your down payment's $1.5 million.
I see.
I'm talking they tested the gold, watched it get on the plane, and by the time they got on the plane, the gold was taken off.
Oh, my God.
It was big time.
God.
It's like a movie.
So the next question is, are you an idiot? Why did you guys go to Ghana if you knew your father-in-law got
scammed? Yeah, good question.
But we didn't know at that point. We didn't know at that point that he was in the process of making a ton of money.
And at the point he talked. Now, you guys were real estate agents?
Yeah. We did everything. And we built houses, flipped houses. We did investment properties.
So you're shady.
Everything.
At best.
you guys are shady characters.
Well, they're
right?
guys Absolutely. Who are clearly, they're smart guys who think, hey, I should be able to game the system somewhere, basically, is what's happening.
But then the economy collapsed in 2008.
Yeah.
And that's when you guys decided, let's just go to Ghana.
Right.
Sure, that's what I'd do.
That's a weird-ass decision.
No, it was the right decision at the right time. You know, we made a bunch of money. I mean, life was good. And but again, we didn't go straight from losing everything in real estate to Ghana. There were a couple steps in between working at a call center, working for my father-in-law, doing whatever you got to do, right?
Right.
Hustling, right?
Right.
To stay alive. And
but
then,
who ends up hustling in Ghana for gold?
We do.
That's insane.
Right opportunity at the right time. There was a big potential. You know, we saw it. And we never thought going out there was going to be get rich quick. This is going to be over in 6 months. You guys are going to be able to retire again.
What did you think?
We thought this is going to be an opportunity for us where we can actually build a stable future for our families through mining. And, you know, we were looking at a 3 to 5 year plan. And we've been slowed down a little bit, but we still are fighting for that, you know, to be able
that's
to...
That's still your plan.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
How tough was it for you to buy land that might have gold on it over there? I imagine all the good spots are already taken, aren't they?
No. At the time, there was and there still is, a gold rush going on in Ghana. I mean, you get in a taxi cab in the capital city of Accra, and you say, I want to go gold mining, and every taxi driver knows somebody that has a claim.
Legitimately. Oh,
wow. Legitimate, yeah.
Really?
No, for real. Yes.
And there's no fear that this shady government is just going to boot you out at some point?
You know, no. I mean, hey, anything can happen, right? I mean,
How do they feel about Americans coming over there and trying to get in on their action?
They love us. They actually there was an article that came out just last week saying, you know, out of all the countries in the world, what are the top 10 countries that love America? Ghana's number 3.
Yeah, because they can get $1.5 million for nothing. Of course they love us.
Yes, this is true.
Your dad had something to do with that.
Now, I've seen a bunch bunch of clips on the Discovery Channel website. And again, we're talking to the guys from Jungle Gold, which is on Sunday nights at 10. And it seems like there were some growing pains when you started with the business. For instance, when you showed up, there were other people who had claims on the land that you thought was yours. You ran into Chinese people who were there who thought that they owned the gold. How'd you settle all of that? With violence? With payoffs? What?
A little bit of everything. I mean,
except for payoffs. We would never do that.
Yeah, exactly. I saw the wink. No, but look, you've got to adapt quickly. Things are done over there exact opposite of the way they're done here. And if you don't adapt, you're going to go home.
When did the fight with the knife happen that I saw a clip of? Was that last season?
Yeah, that was last season. That was episode 2, about 4 weeks into filming, if you can believe it. And I'd never seen a fight. Scott never seen a fight in Ghana. We'd never seen it.
This guy comes at him with a machete.
Absolutely, he did. He came and
he wanted two machetes, actually.
And he wanted blood. Yeah, that's right. He did right. have two. Yeah, we get one machete. He takes his shirt off, you know, in heroic fashion. And then there's another machete sitting there in his belt. And, yeah, he ended up trying to drown our security guard. I had to jump in,
wrapped him
tight, you know, and choked him out.
At that point, did you think, hey, this is too dangerous?
No. But let's keep in mind, at that point, we'd been there 2 years. I mean, we'd seen stuff. I mean, yeah, Ghanaians are nice, peaceful people. They don't get violent. But the stuff we had seen, I mean, makes that fight pale in comparison.
So you didn't go there for the show.
No.
You went there to get gold, and then later...
2 years without any cameras or anything. We were really... You know, we're committed to this, and we've been there. We were there before the cameras. We'll probably be there, you know, after the cameras get bored and tired of us, and we're fine with that. You know,
you're going to be there when you're 70.
Absolutely, yeah.
By that time, we'll have 3 Ghanaian wives. It'd be sweet.
We have to take a break, guys. We have many more questions for you, but let me ask you this before we go: Is it incredibly profitable, or are you just covering your nut?
The potential is unbelievable. And so, yeah, we're there because we know we can solve all our problems very quickly. But
gotcha.
And the show just premiered, so you can check it out and see how we actually did.
All right. Fantastic. Well, it's on Sunday nights at 10 on the Discovery Channel. We'll be right back. Scott Lemieux and George Wright are in the studio, and they are gold miners.
I love that you could – you. Never mind.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Guys, what don't we know – I'll play the dumb American here because I am the dumb American. What don't we know about living in Africa? It just seems like the crushing poverty would be something that you'd never get used to.
You know, it's the little things. You know, you're talking about how the olives are nature's testicles over there. It's the avocados are nature's testicles. So it's
really?
The little things.
People hate them?
No, I'm kidding. I was talking about size, but no, bad joke. Sheesh. No, you know, it's difficult. You know, when George and I first arrived in Ghana, you know, we thought we had problems. And you get there into a third world country and you realize you got first world problems. I mean, these are real problems in Ghana, the poverty, and it's tough. And you reevaluate, you know, what you're doing and why you're doing it.
And what's worth complaining about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. With our kids as well. You know, our kids are, you know, we realize just how stinking spoiled they are over there. There's a little village and one of the kids just plays with an empty oil drum. That's his car. And he pushes around like a car. And I told my son about it. He's like, oh, we'll take my big dump truck to him, you know. And so... Yeah,
your son threw a fit.
Yeah, no, he's a good boy. Yeah.
What about? And this is a question you could ask of any American business that's working overseas, whether you're making iPods in China or mining for gold in Ghana. What's your relationship like with your workers, your African workers? I mean, are they out there for $2 a day, or are you treating them right?
No, we treat our guys real good, and we've actually built a lot of relationships. You know, somebody was asking us just the other day, you know, why do you keep going, and how can you justify keep going there? And you know, Scott and I, of course, talk about our families. We talk about our third partner that's no longer with us. We have a huge responsibility in our minds to take care of his family, his widow, and his two children. But also now there are good friends that we have and good employees that have become dear friends to us that we feel we have a responsibility to be able to provide good, solid, honest work for them. And yeah, of course, you know, we pay 3-4 times what the national average is to our workers.
The national average is like 2 cents a day. So
no,
it's definitely more than that. But no,
you know,
it is. It's
in addition
cost
to that,
of living.
You know, we contribute heavily to the Ghanaian economy. We do get some crap from people saying, "How can you go into this third world country?" country and exploit them. But look, everybody gets a cut. We pay our taxes. The government gets a cut. The chief gets a cut. All the employees, everybody. I mean, you know, we leave more of the gold in Ghana than we bring home. And honestly, we employ a lot of people, and we hope it's a win-win. But, you know, I understand why people feel the way they do.
Sure.
You know? We get it, and we try to tread lightly. But go to any country, and there's foreign investment. The people in Ghana cannot get the gold out of the ground themselves. They have to have a couple guys come in who have excavators who can get the gold out of the ground.
Right.
And we hope it's a win-win.
And a camera crew.
Sure.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Does the camera crew make it much more difficult?
Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. Because you go, again, we go down there, and Scott and I, we have financial problems, you know, back here in the States. You go there, and your financial problems pale in comparison to the
right.
types of financial problems you're going to run into out in Ghana. So you go, just go and buy a bottled water. It's like, how much is a bottled water? $17. No, I'm sorry. I've actually lived here for 3 years. How much is the bottled water? It's $2.
You know?
and what we do is we try and assimilate. We try and show respect to the people of Ghana. We've learned the language. So somebody comes up to us. You see Scott and I say, Eti say, Wahuta saying, ah, Ewanwase Bronika Chui? And we speak their language. And they hear us speak that, and they say, wow, you know what? These guys aren't just coming in. They're not just trying to take advantage of us, but they are respecting our culture, respecting our ways. And everyone speaks English there, but it's something extra that Scott and I can do to kind of show that we are grateful to be there and to have that opportunity.
You started to tell us off the air, and we made you stop, about why you had to shut down the show Jungle Gold at one point. What happened?
Last season, we Discovery Channel wanted to get 16 episodes out of us. And after, I don't know, 7 episodes,
yeah.
We got robbed on camera. I mean, guy came out, shot a gun, and we had a lot of gold on us. And we had about 70 grand worth of gold on us.
Wow.
And we got robbed. And as bad as that was, everybody thought it was fake. Because you don't see that on TV.
Right.
I don't think that's ever happened
Everybody
on TV.
Thought like, oh, this is just a yeah. reality show setup.
Exactly. And you're going to see some stuff this season that you won't believe. But it is 100% real. Last season.
The camera crew just keeps on shooting, right? They do not interfere.
No, well, if you watch what happened, I mean, the camera crew usually doesn't intervene. They intervened big time during the robbery because there's a difference between, I mean, you know, letting them do their, you know, letting us do our thing and them kind of in the background. But when someone fires a gun and we get robbed,
yeah.
they jumped in. They're former SAS British guys. I mean, so they could have.
Well, all right.
Yeah, so they did jump in. I mean, we're driving backward in a Land Rover 100 miles an hour. I mean, it was insane. And you know, and they were mad because, you know, and again, there's this love-hate relationship with the camera. They were mad because half the robbery, they just filmed a dashboard because it just happened. It just, you know, there was no setup for it as far as camera. It
right.
just happened. And they're like, half of it, it's filming a dashboard. What's going on? We're like, well, nobody planned on this happening.
Stupid cameraman.
Scott, yeah. Do robberies happen all the time with all the various people who are transporting gold in that country?
Yeah, you know, it's not a Ghana problem. It's a gold business problem. And you get it wherever you go, anywhere in the world. I mean, the Ghanaian people are probably the most peaceful people on the planet. But when you get in the gold business, they get a lot of people coming from other countries into Ghana because there's a gold rush. It's typically not Ghanaians. It's others, which will remain nameless.
Countries which we're not going to mention.
Yeah, and so it's other people that come in. But there are a lot of robberies happening, and you'll read about it every day in the paper.
You guys are there. I have to ask you this personal question since you're both married with a bunch of kids between you. You're over in Africa so much. Would you ever consider relocating there full time or having your family there with you since you're there for so many months at a time?
I mean, it's been brought up as it's an option, but no, we wouldn't do it simply, you know, because of how easy it is to get sick. I got malaria. Yeah, I would never wish that upon any one of my children or my wife, and I wouldn't wish it upon Scott's children or his wife. That was a brutal experience, and it happens very, very commonly over there, as I think we well know. So, yeah, it's just not something we would even think about. The goal for us is if we're there and we do our job right there, when I come home, outside of doing radio shows like this,
yeah.
I'm with my kids.
You're home.
From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, and I can do anything I want with them. All day long. If I want to go see 4 movies with him, I can.
Which he does.
Just take him and skip from one movie to the next.
For real, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
So your schedule, rather than like, you know, some people have 5 days on, 2 days off, yours is like 4 months on, 2 months off, right?
Right.
It's that kind
right.
of thing.
Right, exactly.
So Jungle Gold just premiered for season two just this past Sunday.
Yeah, so Sunday was the season two premiere. They're running some reruns this week. Okay. I think Friday, Saturday, you can catch the rerun of the first episode of season two. And then this Sunday again, you're going to have the next episode in the saga that is our life.
We've had thousands of guests on the Kevin DeBean Show over the years. You guys could have the strangest jobs of any.
You're,
fascinating
you're
stuff. Jungle Gold, Discovery Channel. First time airs each week is Sunday nights at 10 and then reruns throughout the week. Scott and George, thanks so much for
you're
coming.
You're welcome.
In, guys. Thank you. Really enjoyed it. Kevin, I remember how obsessed your wife gets with some of these Dr. Drew HLN cases.
Oh, yeah.
Is she on to Molly Young? Is she living and breathing for Molly Young
right
now?
I don't think she's hooked on that yet.
This is the latest pretty white blonde lady who got killed, and Dr. Drew is talking about her for 60 full minutes every single night on my HLN. Hey, Doc, how are you, buddy?
First of all, Bean, how dare you?
you know it's true.
That Molly Young, it doesn't seem to be creating traction amongst the Kevin wives of the world.
The crazy women of the world, you can say it.
I'm surprised by that, because it has lots of drama in it.
Lots of drama, really interesting and sad and stuff, but it's they don't seem that interested.
Well, Dr. Drew HLN, weeknights at 6, and then, of course, on Loveline with Mike Catherwood, 5 nights a week here on KREC. The reason we wanted to have you on today, Dr. Drew, is because you are, let's not forget, besides the fact that he's devastatingly handsome and a TV star, he is a real-life medical doctor. And this story has us terrified, the story of young Caitlin Dubrow, who may even be a KREC listener for all we know. She is local. She's 19 years old. You know what happened to her, right, Doc?
She developed meningococcemia.
What is that?
Meningococcus is a sort of a classic cause of meningitis. In fact, you really can't go to college without getting the vaccine for meningococcus. And again, those of you that are anti-vaccine, take a good look at this case. The unfortunate reality is people in this country don't get to see sick people. And we as physicians see this stuff happen all the time. And this is not this is sort of a classic and not that unusual story. Kevin, why don't you guys explain how she ended up?
Yeah, February of 2013, so just a few months ago, she's 19 years old. She's very healthy. She's an aspiring MMA fighter. She goes to the gym. After going home that night, she falls asleep. She wakes up. She has a terrible headache the next day when she wakes up. She's in lots of pain. She stays in bed, stays home, thought she might have the flu. Later that afternoon, she says, I got to go to the hospital. She goes to the doctor, and they say she has, and what's the word again, the meningococcus?
Meningococcus is caused by Neisseria meningitidis, which actually is a relative of gonorrhea. Interestingly.
No kidding.
It's the
no
same
kidding.
Family of bugs, but cause a completely different kind of syndrome. And yeah, it sort of classically causes meningitis, but one of the dreaded manifestations is something called meningococcemia, which is sort of what's called a septicemia, where the bug gets throughout your system. And I think this is the part you guys are talking about. It causes diffuse intravascular coagulation, where actually the proteins that cause the clotting in your blood actually start clotting in the periphery of your arteries, way out in the arterioles. And as a result, clot off all the blood supply to your limbs. And then what happens, guys?
Yeah.
They have to amputate all four of your limbs. She's had 20 surgeries. She's lost both of her arms, both of her legs, has suffered severe skin damage, and is currently in a burn unit because, what, the blood just doesn't keep the skin alive, Doc?
Well, the skin manifestations are actually part of the bacterial infection, but the limb issues are the fact that they think, at least part of it is, that the coagulation is occurring out in the periphery, and you get literally gangrene of your extremities because there's no blood being supplied.
So, I mean, is this something we should be terrified about? This is just a normal, healthy woman at the gym. There's nothing she could have done differently to avoid this, right?
Remind us of the miracle of vaccine therapies that can completely prevent this. These things tend to, classically, again, this kind of infection happens in college dormitories and in military recruits. And there are actually epidemics of it periodically, which is why you don't go to college and live in a dorm unless you've had the vaccine for this.
So did she not have a vaccine she should have gotten? Is that what this is about? Because I'm not seeing that part of the story much.
Yeah, I don't want to blame her for something. Probably the vaccine isn't 100% effective, and maybe she wasn't the right age to have gotten it, and that kind of thing. But it's something that, again, you know, it points out two things. You know, get proper preventative therapies, which are, again, far safer than... than the potential of what these things can do to you. And if things don't seem to be going right with an illness, get to a doctor immediately. Early treatment for these kinds of things really do make a big difference.
But I think all of us would, if we woke up with a really bad headache, I think we'd all probably stay in bed for the day.
I totally understand how she got in this situation. I mean, I had a H1N1 infection a couple of years ago, And I remember as I got sicker and sicker and sicker, I finally said, take me to the hospital. And when I said that, I thought, I can't even believe I'm saying that. It's sort of the last thing you want to say. You know,
right.
There's great resistance to that. But do know that if you really, if not your usual manifestations of a flu, we all know what that feels like. If it seems to be more ferocious in any way, get seen. I mean, this is how things really go back, because these things are treatable early, and once they spiral out of control, then you're just playing catch up, trying to.
How often do you see a story like the one we've described about Caitlin happening in the United States in a year? Is it a once a year thing, or more often than that?
I'm sure it's more often than that in a huge population. I've never seen meningeal meningitis, but I've never seen meningococcemia. But it is kind of a classic thing. I mean, it's something that does happen.
Well, I want to add one more thing to this conversation with Dr. Drew, and that is you can imagine the family financial challenges of having this happen to your previously healthy daughter. You can imagine what's going to be involved in the care once she gets out of the hospital, and she is a quadriplegic now for the rest mm-hmm. of her life. The family is desperate to help raise some money to attend to her medical costs now and the rest of her life after that. So they have set up a link on a website called giveforward.com, giveforward.com, and her name again is Caitlin Dubrow, and that's Dobrow, if you want to find out more about the case from the family and maybe make a contribution to help them. So basically, just stay current with your vaccines and go to the doctor if you're sick. That's the takeaway for today, right,
and
Dr.
don't
Drew?
Go to the gym. Right?
Well, it's funny, you know, it's not funny, but the crow, it's funny when you mentioned she's an MMA fighter. I thought, wow, it's that close proximity that can result in transmission of this stuff. And by the way, if she is a K-Rock listener, we should do something for her.
Well, we don't know. I mean, we're just guessing.
But I'm just saying. I mean, I heard John Stamos was taking her to Disneyland or something.
And he's offered to do that. By the way, we have reached out on the show for the last week to her family or spokesperson to try to get someone on the air to talk more about this and come up with some ideas of things we can do. So far, they have not responded to us or have not been willing to come on, Dr. Drew. But yeah, we definitely would love to help this young lady out if we could, because it's just a horror. It's literally the worst nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank God she survived. And guys, and thank God, you know, we have this day of incredible biotechnology for the synthetic, you know, the limbs and things that can be used in replacement. And I really look forward. These young people have the amazing attitude. You'll just be amazed how they come through these things and keep a positive mental attitude in the face of just devastation. So keep all positive thoughts for her.
Absolutely. We'll see you on HLN tonight at 6 and then on Loveline tonight at 10 o'clock. Thanks, Dr. Drew.
You guys.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
WWE Diva Eva Marie joins us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean
Show. She could have been ours if you guys hadn't blown it.
What?
She could have been ours if you guys hadn't blown it.
She was in the Miss Double D pageant.
Yes.
How crazy is that, that less than a year later, she's an international television celebrity?
I'm happy with Lux, but I would have been happy with her as well.
No, Lux is the best.
Yeah.
I kid.
All right. They should live together.
They're buddies.
That may be a topic for another day.
They're buddies.
Anyway, bosom buddies. Ha! Boom! Chuck-a-lacka! Zing! Why a witch?
I bet she hates olives.
Well, that has to be true.
I thought we're not having that conversation anymore.
We're not.
We're not having that conversation anymore?
There's no other side.
Are we not having that conversation
right
now?
There's no other side than olives.
A bunch of dick losers, you guys. Or dick winners, rather.
I'm just rubbing it in. That's all. Look, you win the Stanley Cup. It doesn't mean you still carry the trophy around. You still brag. You still are happy, right? Just because you've won, it's over, doesn't mean you're not still pleased with the reaction.
Good analogy. Good analogy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well
Thank
stated.
You very much.
Well said,
For
Kevin.
Your consideration.
The Stanley Cup doesn't mean you don't carry trophy around proud. Please,
Bean is seriously challenging my crown.
Rob is here. Time for the Showbiz Bee. What's going on?
I bring nothing but love to my peeps.
That's what you're famous for.
Well, not the peeps I work with, but the peeps who listen to me.
Oh, okay. Right.
Here's what I want you to do today. How would you like to be amongst the very first to try the new Fiery Doritos Locos Tacos?
Woo!
From Taco Bell. You know, they launch on August the 22nd, but you want to taste it before for free? Those of us here in Los Angeles get to do just that, thanks to God bless them, Taco Bell.
Yeah! That's hot!
Go to any Taco Bell location today, from open to close, and request to try the new Fiery Doritos Locos Taco. And you'll be given one for free between 2 and 5 p.m. today. So if you go between
How's 2 Taco and Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
Well, they probably won't. But They're gonna. You know, it's like a pusher. The first one's free.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, your beer mug, you're panhandling for Taco Bell money.
I see mugs going in a circle in the drive-thru, around and around and around, yeah. Wanting another free one.
I should probably say this because Mugs is listening.
Yeah.
One per customer. Ah. Limit one per customer.
Damn it.
You see beer mug with like a trunk full of disguises. He's got like a Duck Dynasty beard on. Next thing you know, he's got a trench coat and a hat. And then
he's doing all funny voices and clown makeup. And,
fantastic.
Yeah. So that's your heads up. You can get free new fiery Doritos tacos at Taco Bell from 2 to 5 p.m. at all the Taco Bells in Southern
California. I got California. A taco right here.
Yes, you do.
I bet that's fiery as well. And more things, more free things to give you.
All right.
How about tickets to an advanced screening of The World's End?
Yay!
Brand new movie from Edgar Wright, starring Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, who he's collaborated with before on movies like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. Martin Freeman joins them this time, as well as Rosamund Pike. Oh, boy. This is a great cast. Very, very funny idea about five friends who reunite to try to recreate the magic of their epic pub crawl from 20 years earlier, only to be caught up in the end of the world.
How many times has that happened, you know?
This tired old story. Although, seriously, how many apocalypse movies have we had this year?
We've had two already.
I know. This is number three.
Yeah, weird.
1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers you get through will get a pair of tickets to not only see The World's End at our advanced screening, but attend the World's End pub party at Ye Olde Kingshead after the screening. The movie's in theaters everywhere on August the 23rd. This is on the 22nd, so you'll have seen it first. Sad news from the world of Bachelor and Bachelorette fans. Gia Alamond, who was on The Bachelorette on season 14. She came in third. She almost went to the end. Then she'd had two very successful seasons on The Bachelor pad. Is now dead after committing suicide.
Hmm.
Tried to hang herself last Monday, was in critical condition at the hospital, and then yesterday was taken off life support due to what they're calling a critical loss of brain and organ function. Jeez, Kevin, you should be worried.
How dare you?
She was a model and a lovely girl, and by all accounts, everyone really liked her. But she took her own life, so tragic news.
And you checked on Petros?
No.
Sure he's all right?
Yeah, I think he's okay.
All right.
And this sounds like a game show I can get behind. It's going to be on the Game Show Network. It's a new game show called Mind of a Man, where women are asked questions based on the survey of 100 men. Female contestants will have to try to figure out how men would answer the questions that they're being asked.
Wow.
It's an hour-long show. Two female contestants will battle it out. They'll have some celebrities who will help them figure out what guys are thinking. It debuts in the Game Show Network later this year. I think that sounds like a fun show.
I think it's an easier one than if guys were trying to guess what women thought.
Absolutely. Because you get into that labyrinthine path of just darkness and madness. You never find your way out again. You just disappear once you go down that rabbit
hole.
There's
no winner in that game.
Forget about that. Mind of a man. It's easy for women. Boobs? That's your go-to answer. Or sandwiches? Boom. You win. Sounds like fun. I wonder if they need a host. Need a job.
Sound like you're coughing over there.
I got a hairball.
How many jobs do you have?
I don't know, half a dozen or so.
Yeah.
I'm still like 13 short of Seacrest.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, well, that's true.
If he can handle it, I can handle it.
I think you should give that a rest, Ralph.
By the way, a lot of people asking, I heard you're going to play at the Improv in Irvine this weekend. How can we go? We are sold out for the Friday night show.
Ooh.
Sorry about that. But we will be back because apparently they like us down there. And then, of course, next week we're in New York at the Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. Sold out as well. And then we'll be back in Los Angeles. So stick around. We'll be here. Today's celebrity birthdays. Deborah Messing's 45 years old today. Anthony Anderson is 43. Ben Affleck turns 41. Natasha Henstridge. She was in that movie Species. You ever see that? Boy, that's a creepy movie. 39 years old. Joe Jonas of the Joe Bros.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Oh, come on. 24 years old today. And Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
She is just 23 and just spectacular.
She's perfect
on every level. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I think she's already mocking us. She just walked in the door. She's already like, how you like me now, suckers?
Pretty hard, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, WWE Diva Eva Marie in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, hey, hey.
Reference I make is because although she's here as a big-time celebrity guest, we have a little bit of a history with this young woman. What happened, Eva Marie?
Well,
I did compete for Miss Double D, and that's where I met you boys
this
first.
Past year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how'd that go?
You know what? I'm sitting here now as WWE diva, so it went pretty good.
It went pretty well, yeah.
Yeah. So did we blow it? Did we, were we wrong? Did we miss the, I mean, we went with Lux, who you know, and she's
and I love her to death. So
she's been a fantastic Miss Double D, but I look at you now and I go, how are we blind?
You know what? It happens, but you know what? I'm here now.
How'd you get hooked up with WWE?
You know what? I went on an open audition, a diva search, and then I just kept getting a call back, and now I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Now, what was your relationship like with WWE before? I mean, were you already a big fan? You knew exactly what you were doing when you went in there, or was it just to you, like just another audition for another acting job?
No, I knew exactly what WWE was. I mean, growing up with three older brothers, you know, I remember watching when it was like Hulk Hogan, snapping to a Slim Jim.
Right.
And then when I went in, I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. This is what I need to do, considering, you know,
I remember you were athletic.
Yeah.
You played soccer.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this is like all in one. I mean, I get to be a professional athlete, and then I get to glam up and rock some red carpets and then go, you know, do charity events and do the whole thing.
So yeah, it's best of both worlds. The fascinating thing, and I do remember this about when you were auditioning for Miss Double D, is that you told us you were a tomboy. Now, look, I've known a lot of tomboys in my life. None of them look like you. What's up with that?
Well, thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. you know, growing up with three older brothers, I wanted to get down and dirty. And then, I mean, I just clean up nice, I guess.
So what's the schedule like? I imagine you do a lot of this sort of thing, but what's the job like of being a WWE diva?
The job is amazing. I mean, we do so much. The travel is crazy. I'm still getting used to it. Different time zones and everything like that. But we do so much. I mean, we, you know, kick some butt in the ring, and then we're going to an event tonight. So it's like constantly on the go. It's amazing.
You're also on Total Divas.
Yes.
Explain that to us.
Total Divas is... You get to watch the journey.
Hang on a second. I'm sorry.
Where's
coming from?
I thought I turned it off.
Take your phone out of the studio.
Lisa, are you not that interested?
What's happening over there?
But I heard this thing going off, and I'd already turned it off.
It went off. Like, she says this every day. I turned it off.
I'm like, I keep hearing these little like tweets, and I'm like, wait, I'm getting sidetracked.
I was trying to ignore it, but
I thought R2-D2 came in with Eva Marie. It was the weirdest thing.
All right, we were talking about Total Divas before we were interrupted by Lisa's phone.
Total Divas is 7 of us. 2 of us are in developmental. Me and JoJo, you get to watch, you know, the day in the life. You get to go behind the scenes of WWE, which no one has ever gotten to see before. So it's amazing. You see good days and bad days. And you see, like, for me, I'm trying to still become, you know, a full-fledged WWE diva. So you get to see the trials and tribulations of going. And these women are insane. What they do.
Is it crazy?
It is crazy. Like, the things that they do on a day-to-day basis is amazing. And so to even be considered, I'm just completely honored.
Now, I have to ask this because we're talking about the WWE, but I mean, is it a scripted storyline for the divas, or is it the real look at what it's like to do that job?
It's the real look. I mean, I'm competitive at heart, so I'm going balls to the wall to make it to the top.
Right.
So you see that, you know, you see everybody's personality, you go inside of our relationships. And that's what's hard, is because we travel so much that, you know, you get to see the day in the life of a typical WWE diva and see how she handles not only being on the road and, you know, handling her job in the ring and then training and all of that, but then how she deals with, like, her family life. So,
right. What have you learned from some of the established divas, you know, Brie and Nikki and people like that who are, you know, been doing it for a while? What advice did they give you when you kind of came into the family?
You know what? Just to take it a day at a time and to literally focus on the craft. So,
do they want you to make it, or is it kind of cutthroat?
You know, it's a doggy dog world. So it is definitely competitive. So I'm not going to say, you know, it's every girl for herself. So, I mean, hey, if somebody doesn't make it, I mean, it's no sweat off their back. You know what I mean?
Right, sure.
So it's like...
So they're not against you, but they certainly would be fine
if
without you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. As you would them.
100%.
What has it been like for you to, you know, with all the publicity you're getting, with the TV show debuting, with being in the Maxim magazine that's on newsstands now? I mean, you've become, for a lot of people, an overnight celebrity now. What's that been like for you to now suddenly be in the public eye, have fans, be recognized, be written about? Is it weird for you? Is it fun? Is it scary? What?
It is seriously so freaking amazing. Like, I feel like I'm dreaming. You know, I feel like it's so surreal. I'm so grateful for it, but like it hasn't really hit me, you know, like it really hasn't sunken in that all of this is going on. You know, I'm just taking it day by day and doing the best that I can. So it's like when people like outside the studio walking in, there are some people out there asking for my autograph. And I'm like, what? Oh, my God. Are you serious? Okay.
You want to make sure you're not getting punked?
Yeah. Seriously, Ashton Kutcher's about to come like out the bushes.
Nobody wants your autograph? Yeah. Oh, you're silly.
Yeah.
What a difference from 9 months ago, you showing up to this same building to go on the air to just do an interview as, you know, as essentially a no one to us, you know?
I know.
It's crazy.
Bean, how dare you?
No, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, you're right. It's a totally different thing. Now, the other thing about you, and this is the voice of Eva Marie from WWE. She is a diva on Total Diva. E is where the show airs Sunday nights at 10. The other thing about you is you can't go incognito. Besides the fact that you're so tall and hot, that hair cannot be hidden. I mean, you are going to stand out wherever you go. There's no way you can pretend it's not you.
True. It is definitely an attention grabber. I mean, when I was here, I was black.
Yeah, I remember.
Hair.
You weren't black, but your hair was black.
depending on the tan that I had that day, you know, you never know.
You were some kind of an exotic mix, like Mexican and Italian.
There you go.
So
now
I'm
red, you know.
Now you're red.
How did the red hair thing happen? I mean, was that your choice, or did they come to you and say, hey, this is what we think would be great for you?
Well, Bean, if you watched the show.
Yeah, Bean.
Sorry. Come on. On episode one, you kind of see how it all goes down. You know, like being WWE, you have to be an individual. It's all about, you know, standing out, being, you know, an empowered female, you know, make a name for yourself.
Right.
So potentially they wanted me to go blonde just because, you know, the Bellas, they have dark hair and they're Mexican Italian as well. When I got that news, I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You know, so like in the show, you see me at the salon and my hair color is getting stripped out. And I'm like, no way. Blonde's not.
Not going to happen.
Not going to look
like,
good
come
on
you.
Not
happening
so
at all. Blonde is not me. I am totally this like spitfire, you know, red all the way.
Is every diva part Italian? It seems like it,
right?
It does seem like maybe they are.
Hey, Italians like good breeders, I guess.
I guess so.
Yes, they are. Eva Marie is here. She is a WWE diva. We have to take a break and so Lisa can make some phone calls. Then we'll be right back with more right after this on K-Rock. Sunday nights at 10 on E! Is a show called Total Divas. Our new best friend in the whole wide world, Eva Marie, is on that show. She is a WWE diva, and she is in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Dave came in, asked you about Super Slam. That's coming up. Tell us all about that.
I'm so excited for Super Slam. Not only is it in LA at the Staples Center, but my family will be there as well.
Nice.
So that's amazing. And then I am having my first match. So I'm debuting on Sunday, tag teaming with Brie Bella against Maria Menounos and Natalia.
Now, Maria Menounos is not a wrestler, right? She's a TV host. What's that about?
She's a huge wrestling fan, and she actually wrestled at WrestleMania with Kelly and Eve and Beth Phoenix. So
I remember that, but I thought she just did that as a piece for her TV show. You know, I didn't think that was something she was really like into or not.
Yeah,
but
she's
serious about it.
Yeah, she's very serious. She was at the Hall of Fame. She was a speaker. She's like a huge WWE fan, so it'll be nice to get my hands on her. You know,
I have said that for years about Maria Menounos. tell me about the wrestling. Like, tell me what's involved in the fight itself. Like, what kinds of moves have you had to learn? Tell me what the training is like. I'm fascinated with how somebody is going to put you in a position where you could get hurt, because I can't support that.
Well, that's what I'm here for. You know, training is amazing. During commercial, I was telling you guys about the Performance Center that opened in Orlando. It's state-of-the-art. It's amazing. JoJo and I have been training out there for like 8 hours a day when we're not on the road.
Wow.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So you're going to have to see. I mean, I'm learning all sorts of moves.
Do you have a signature move yet?
Not yet. that'll be in the works.
All right.
So, what kind of training?
What kind of training are you doing? Like, how is this one of those deals where you got to really take it seriously and be in the gym every day and stuff?
Yeah, we train 6 days a week, so we're in the ring doing between 2.5-3 hours in the ring, and then we do strength and conditioning. Then we watch film. Then we go to promos with Dusty, the amazing Dusty Rhodes, and work on our character and our speech, and
being it sounds like 12-hour days every day.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a full-time job.
I guess so.
Being a WWE diva or superstar is no joke.
Who else is on the bill that night at SummerSlam? Is John Cena fighting that night?
Absolutely. He's the main event against Daniel Bryan, so that's going to be an amazing match to watch. I'm excited for that.
And it's at Staples Center. When is it?
Sunday.
Oh, this yes, Sunday.
This Sunday.
Oh, fantastic.
Dude.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be wasting your time in here with us.
I know, right?
And it's
sold out already.
Oh, wow.
So, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's huge.
Is it pay-per-view? Can we get it on pay-per-view?
Yes, it's on pay-per-view. It's SummerSlam. It's like the big, it's going down.
Do you win?
Stay tuned. I get to valet for... the women's match is Brie Bella against Natalya on pay-per-view, and Nikki and I get to valet, which is, walk her out on her match. So
fantastic.
I'm excited. Yeah.
So
I'm excited. Bring a little fire to the Bella twins.
Exactly. Exactly.
Spice.
All right. So that's going to be Sunday night. So in other words, you're going to be on pay-per-view opposite being on E! On the Total Divas show. So you'll be on two channels at the same time on Sunday night.
Yes,
that's
I am.
It's a good trend.
That's
not a bad thing at all, yeah. All right, Eva Marie here, WWE Diva on the Kevin Bean Show. Before you go, the Dodgers are 40-8.
Oh, my goodness.
In their last 48 games.
Keep bleeding your blue. I'll continue to bleed my black and orange. I do have
Eva Marie is from San Francisco, right?
Yes,
right.
Yeah. From the Bay.
Last place Giants? Are they technically in last place, or are they not quite? Are they fourth in the division? I can't remember. It's been so long since I've looked that far down in the standings.
All I can say is we have two rings in the last 3 years. What about you?
I do know. I know that is actually
that's not
true.
A bad answer.
No,
it's not. So are you at all? Can you be happy for Dodgers fans, or does it burn you up every single day when you wake up like 8 in a row now for the Dodgers? Does it just destroy you to see their fans happy?
I'm not going to lie. It hurts a little bit.
Hey, but knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodgers!
Yes, oh, my gosh. Stop it. Please.
All right, so we'll let you go. You just got to say go Dodgers, and then we'll let you go.
Absolutely. No, what I have to say is, Bean, you better get my Maxim magazine. It's my birthday month.
Are you kidding
September.
Me? Done.
Wow, you're really making him sacrifice.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I guess if I have to look at that, I will. Eva, I'm so glad you came back to see us. It's so nice to kind of get back in touch with you, and I hope we get a chance to see you again, my dear. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Your pictures don't do it justice. What? Yeah. Your pictures don't do you justice. You're hot. These pictures are not good.
How dare you?
He did essentially say your Maxim pictures are terrible. I did not say that at all.
We can't bring nice things around you, too.
I didn't say that at all.
You did. That's what you said.
I didn't. I said they don't do you justice in person.
Right.
That's a compliment.
But isn't that another way? No, you're slamming her photos.
No, I'm not.
Your photos are bad.
They look great. She looks better.
That's not what you said. These photos don't do you justice.
Oh, she understands me.
Kevin, God damn it.
How about saying you're even more lovely than you are in your photograph?
Well, that was a given.
No, it wasn't. But you said, these photos don't do you justice. You're hot. Meaning, I'm just going to wipe my ass with the Maxim magazine.
Oh, how dare you.
Well, how dare you speak that way
to
her?
Were you in here?
I heard.
Yeah.
The K-Rock microphones were there.
Yeah. You heard through the prism of Dave, King of Mexico.
Lisa, give us the woman's perspective. If somebody says,
did I insult her?
If your photos don't do you justice, how do you take it?
They say, well, these photos don't do you justice. That means
God,
the photos are crap.
The way that Ralph said it would be the appropriate way to say it. The way that Kevin said it leaves it way up in the air. You're like, I don't know. Is that...
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And she said, thank you, I think.
She did say that, yeah. And then I was able to clarify.
But if you want to express that,
don't you say... You didn't do a good job clarifying.
Say, wow, you're even prettier than you are in your photos. Isn't that how you say that?
Yes.
That would be the right way to say things.
Right.
But I usually don't choose
the
right way.
Well, I just can't wait for Super Jam. I'll be watching. I cannot wait.
SummerSlam, I believe.
What is it?
It's SummerSlam.
That's not what I heard on K-Rock.
Yeah, we didn't say that right, I don't think, once.
We can't have nice things.
It sure is easy and fun to sit in the other room and criticize everything we do in here, isn't it, Ralph?
Yeah. Well, okay, there's certainly... Right. No, because you guys are... No, you're right. I'm being unfairly critical of the genius work you did.
Thank you. Now you're on
right.
track.
You're right.
Now you're on
you're
track.
You're right. And you were spot on, and I am just making fun of the exact right things that you said.
You're the fan in the stands who's criticizing the play on the field, my friend. That's what's going on.
And yet I get on the field, and I do pretty well. I hit the ball pretty good. I round the bases.
Okay, yeah.
So, am I that guy?
Well,
am I that fan?
But you're the pitcher. You don't get up to plate as often. So, it's no big. It's not such a big deal. We talk a lot more. We make a lot more mistakes.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever you need to sleep at night. Whatever you,
you
want.
That's
to spin
what
it.
We need.
Whatever you
what
need
we need
it.
Is we're doing the best we can. We're just barely hanging on.
I'm
that's
not saying you're
need.
Not doing the best you can. I firmly believe you're doing the best you can. I absolutely believe that with a whole heart. I believe you're doing the best that you two particularly can do. I agree. Just,
I believe that just, has been proven.
Yeah. It's just not very good. That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying you're doing the best that you can. That okay. your abilities allow you to do.
Gene, our assistant boss?
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That is actually true. Thank all right. Let's see you do the best that you can, Ralph, with the showbiz beat here.
Just go to Super Jam. Go to superjam.com.
SummerSlam.
Get your tickets. What?
All right. Slam. Let's do it again, maybe a little better this time.
I can't believe that for a minute. Hey, Justin Bieber, he is just a prince among men.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to say prince.
He's the other purr word, too. He posted a photo. Well, let's get to the good part. There is a photo on the internet.
Okay.
Showing him in his baby blue Ferrari handing cash out the driver's side window to a homeless woman.
There's a photo of that?
There's a photo of that on the internet.
Why would they take a photo of that?
Well, Kevin.
What are the chances?
Here's the thing. That photo was posted on Justin Bieber's Instagram. He posted the photo himself.
Here, here, take a picture of me.
Of him giving
giant ass.
A homeless woman money. How desperate is he for a image rehab?
Good
that
publicity.
He's posting his own pictures of him doing charitable acts now. Does it count if you post your own picture of you doing that?
Well, I'm sure the homeless woman didn't care because she got the money either way. But
exactly.
for the rest
but
of
for
us,
his
no,
motivation,
it's absurd.
Is it coming from...
No.
A good place in his heart, or is it self-aggrandizement?
Take a picture of me. Oh, the phone didn't work. He pulls the money back from the homeless woman. Let's try it again.
Take two. No word on how much he gave her, but he's worth $130 million, so I'm hoping it was a fiver.
Is he really worth that much?
Yeah, that's what he's going for.
Wow.
Well, then why doesn't he retire and go away and leave the rest of us alone?
Good question. He posted the Instagram photo with the...
That's pathetic.
The inscription... Always give back. That's what it says.
It's got a point.
Man.
I take a picture of yourselves doing it.
I've changed my mind. He's a good guy now. It works, Justin. Well done.
Ralph, would you say that he's doing the very best he can?
No. I think he could do better. Because it's just bad behavior. Bad behavior is just unacceptable. Because he knows what's right and wrong. He knows you're not supposed to pee in a bucket in a restaurant.
That's true. Yeah.
He knows that.
Yeah. Spit in people's faces.
He's making the... Yeah, you know you don't spit on people from your balcony window. He knows that stuff. He's just choosing to be a douchebag. You guys, on the other hand, cannot help yourselves.
Come on.
You're just as God made you.
Just, and that's the problem.
That's the problem. Just, look, it's...
We do our best, Ralph.
A few damaged chromosomes here and there, and that's what you get. And I just say... It's kind of encouraging to see you guys do as well as you do.
Come on,
all things considered, because I think it could be a lot worse.
And that's my point. I think you should be looking at the positive side, like the guy who isn't quite all there, who's still able to keep a job taking tickets to the movie theater. The point
that's
isn't
right.
what he can't do; it's what he can do that you should be celebrating.
Get 11 on your right.
That guy. We're that guy.
Yeah.
But at least we get up in the morning, we get dressed, and we come to work and we try, Ralph.
Full of hope.
We get some credit for that?
We come to this building full of hope. And every day.
That's the remarkable part. And for 20 plus years, you keep going, this today? Yes! I can do this job. Finally. Concession stands open. That's you guys.
I want only positive feedback, please.
You got it. Simon Cowell. Has impregnated his girlfriend, his best friend's wife. It's so hard to know what to call her.
Yeah.
Lauren Silverman. I told you, he bought her a $10 million mansion.
Yes,
right?
You did.
Yeah.
Well, he hands those out like Tic Tacs, though, doesn't he?
He does tip those to a valet. I've seen him give keys to a house to a valet to get his car back. New York Post says Lauren Silverman is already working out her divorce agreement with her husband, Andrew. They had a $4 million prenup already in place, so she's going to get her payday. It comes down to custody issues. They live in New York City. Andrew Silverman doesn't want their child, their 7-year-old son, to leave with her to Los Angeles. So that's what he's fighting, is he wants to get custody so the kid will stay in town, because it looks like she's going to move to L.A. to live in her $10 million mansion and be near Simon Cowell. So Simon's doing the right thing by her. He's going to rent her an apartment in New York City as well. Apparently the one he is looking at, according to sources, is $20,000 a month. That's the rent for it.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
What?
What kind of money do you have when you can pay 20 grand a month on rent? That's not a mortgage. That's rent.
In addition to the $10 million mansion?
Yeah. This is going to be the most expensive mistake of his life.
What?
That's what I'm saying.
Good point, Beer Mug.
And this is great news. It's going to be a new Showtime show starring Philip Seymour Hoffman called Trending Down, a new comedy. And they're filming the pilot as we speak. Rhys Ifans has joined the cast. You know him as Notting Hill. He played the wacky roommate of...
He's always running around in his underwear.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's funny.
And The Amazing Spider-Man played the lizard in that film. He will play his boss in the TV show, which is about an ad agency. So I'm looking forward to that. Ad agency, by the way, since Mad Men, has become like the new location.
Oh, is it the new hot thing?
Robin Williams has a TV show coming on where he works in an ad agency, and now this one with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Everybody's going to work there. You guys ever watch The Pitch on AMC, speaking of ad agencies? It's a reality show about real ad agencies pitching advertising campaigns to clients.
Oh,
fascinating stuff.
Was it good?
It is really good. You don't really think much about the process of how it goes from, hey, I want to sell this, to the commercial that you end up watching on television or the ad you hear on the radio or the magazine ad. And it's fascinating to watch that process, watch the creative process and how they get that done and how the clients say yay or nay, depending on what state they're in. So come here, check it out. Just came to me.
That's pretty goddamn impressive.
I thought so. Hey, get free tacos. How about that? Is that impressive?
Yeah!
No one's ever been happier about anything than Beer Mug.
He's going to spend his day driving from Taco Bell to Taco Bell.
They're looking to introduce their new fiery Doritos Locos tacos. And so they are giving them away for free today only. They'll go on the menu officially August the 22nd. But if you want to get a taste for free, they're doing it just here in Los Angeles between 2 and 5 p.m.
Yeah.
At your local Taco Bell, you can get a new fiery Dorito taco. Just limit one per customer, please.
Ralph, I read about this new fiery taco. You know, they originally were going to call it the Flamas taco. Flamas is what that's the name of the pepper that's in it or whatever it was.
But Lorenzo Flamas?
Too many people were pronouncing it Flamass, and that was their fear, is that it would be known as the Flamass. So they said, well, I guess we can't call it the Flamas.
How appropriately named is that? Because
right.
A few hours later, after you eat that taco, it will be the Flamass taco.
That is not true, so, I've been told.
That is why it is known as the fiery. What? That's not a bad, poor reflection on
and
Taco
this is
Bell.
A paid mention. I'm just putting the information out there. Taco Bell didn't ask me to read that. I just wanted to give people a heads up.
We love Taco Bell, and we think this is probably an awesome product. I'm excited to try. I just wanted to say, I thought it was funny how you just talk about advertising. Sometimes you learn, in the field, kind of what works and what doesn't. That's how they chose a different name.
Yeah. Go and get me some of them flame ass tacos.
Right. Exactly.
Twice the taco.
Now, while I'm talking about things I'm not being paid for,
yes,
well, I really should start charging for this stuff.
I should, but
Uber. You know how I love the Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, the Uber's the best thing in the world ever.
They just announced they're expanding their coverage zone today. They are now going deep into the Valley, the Pasadena area, and also the South Bay. So if you need a ride and you're an Uber user or you haven't signed up yet because you live in those neighborhoods that haven't been serviced by Uber, now starting today, they're doing that.
Awesome. It's U-B-E-R if you want
to. U-B-E-R. You got to download the app on your phone and then you can use them. But
there's no reason for you now to ever sober up, Ralph, because right now you have to get up and drive to work in the morning. And if Uber is at your house now, you can just use them.
It is just awesome. I use it for Babylon now when I go to do the Hollywood Babylon show and I just get so effed up. After the show, I'm just annihilated. Then
you don't have to worry about driving home.
Uber comes and gets me.
Smart.
Today's celebrity birthday is Jennifer Lawrence is 32 years old today. Singer Joe Jonas of the Joe Bros.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
He's 24 years old today. Emily Kinney, Beth from The Walking Dead, celebrates her 28th birthday today. Natasha Henstridge, you know, of course, from Species and other feature films, 39 years old. Ben Affleck, award-winning actor and director, producer, 41 years old today. That guy's got it going on, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Anthony Anderson, funny man and talented actor, 43 years old. And actress Deborah Messing, we last saw her on Smash. I think she's coming back with another TV series this fall. She's 45 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning, an all-new show. We've got the Movie Beat because it is Friday. Speaking of movies, we have the director of Kick-Ass 2, Jeff Wadlow, in the studio. We have comedian Doug Benson on the program tomorrow.
Wow.
We have a brand-new Internet Roundup, and we have Dana White, president of the UFC.
Wow. Big show.
All on one show tomorrow morning.